Riders, Rangers, and Rambles. Shukrin Shinobi is the legendary underground toy reviewer. Dust Rider is Awesome Rider. And Jedimon is
Jedimon. Hello and welcome to Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, episode 51.
It's Kaoru time! And not the kind you think. But you have to include the explanation point so you don't get involved in the call.
Right.
Seriously.
How many is good? Three?
Yeah, 3 to 4.
3 to 4. Fun.
Yeah.
What? I don't know.
I don't know anymore.
Anyway. Shall we proceed this epic Kaoru time with some epic one-ups?
Yes. Who wants to go first?
Me, apparently I'm required to.
I didn't
you
know.
It's your contract. Right next to it, you buy all figure arts ever.
Okay. So I got some Pokemon toys. I got all of Wave 1 figures.
Ah! Sorry.
That's honestly the only thing that's happened since last podcast. Nothing in the mail. Didn't buy anything else. It's been a quiet week for me. Just waiting for packages, really. I've got Metal Set 4 coming from CS Toys. That should be here this week. Ami Ami package should be here early next week. An Oki package.
We don't speak that name, sir.
Should probably be here whenever. I don't know when that'll get here eventually. I'm not even sure if I'm going to ship. I think I'm going to ship. I don't know. I don't know anything.
He doesn't know anymore.
IDKF.
Wait, what is IKR? 5 minutes later?
Never mind. But no, outside of waiting for things and stuff, I haven't done anything. I've been busy with school. This week has been total hell. But after this week, it's like all done, and then I get to do whatever the fuck I want.
Yay. Do whatever the fuck you want. You mean watch Ben 10 while I drill you and whip you to watch it? I think drill you sounded weird. I'm sorry about that. I
bet you do want to drill.
The Volkoff, man.
The Volkoff. Fuck me up. Still.
But yeah, I'm sorry to not be epic this week, but seriously, it's all that's been going on.
Are you done?
I beat Portal.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
That was fun. Potatoes is the coolest character ever.
Fuck yeah.
Just saying. So, amazing game. If you've played Portal and you haven't played Portal 2, shame on you. If you haven't played Portal 1, shame on you again. But if it's not your kind of game, then you probably...
Kevin shouldn't even be here because he hasn't played either one.
Like, it's one of those games that you need to be able to, like, do it properly or else you'll just hate it so much.
Yeah.
But it's a fun game. I like it.
I feel like it's a rite of passage as a gamer to play that.
Okay, now that's all. It's someone else's turn.
I'll go.
Yeah, you will go.
Okay, so... I got my package from Oki because my mailman is awesome and brought my package back after I missed it at the door because he's just a pimp. And it features... damn it, I had a joke for this and then it died. What was it? I don't know. It features... it had... Fuck! I can't even remember their names. Okay, Cyclone Aqua Extreme, who just sucks. And Rising Titan, who doesn't suck. He's awesome, and he has two double blades, and he's just the shit. And then it's got a really bald Aquaranger key. Not Titan, but the box. So Aquaranger just sitting there like, hey, look, I'm bald. And the magazine is kind of disappointing. And then a box from Mandrake with D-Arts, Omegamon or Omnimon and Super Togekin Shinkano and so nothing else. I know, they're so good. Omnimon's like, I am the shit. And then Shinkano's like, my legs are heavy, but I'm also the shit, in case you're wondering. I found a Sandile at Target today, the plush version.
Ah, did you?
Yeah, they started carrying him.
Is he adorable?
Yes, he looks kind of like an anteater because his nose is a little bit bent, but he's still cool. I think that's all for... Well, I bought the Green Hornet on Blu-ray. I had to buy, like, the Blu-ray DVD 3D combo pack because that was the only one with the Blu-ray DVD combo pack. And it was only $4 more than buying the Blu-ray, so I'm like, why not? an extra disc just to like throw around and play with co-op Portal and fight over my friend with to put it in the DVD player. And then, God. And
yeah,
then
stop that.
And then I've been watching Power Rangers in Space all week and prep for RRR and RRR, and it's just so good. And then I watched Chuck yesterday, and my mind was blown at the end, and Brian's mind was gone.
It was gone.
And then
something on Brian's was blown, though.
And then we had 90s Night, and RPM's original theme songs were supposed to be in American Pie.
Fly and Power Ranger, win Power Ranger.
Oh, fuck yes. Power Ranger. I love
Wait,
that
what?
Song. You should have been there, man. 90s Night.
No, what's I didn't hear you. What song?
Brian.
Go, Power Ranger, fly. Power Ranger, win. Power Ranger, here we go.
Duh, winning.
No, was that supposed to be, or what was that?
Jesus.
How do you not know this? It's so epic.
Wasn't listening, asshole.
Okay, I'm done. I can't take this anymore.
I already said it twice, so you're done.
You're done.
You sang the song. That's all I heard was like five words. I just asked for the rest of the
Those are the only words.
What were they supposed to be, asshole?
No. Bad.
No.
You know what? Just your mother's gay. How's that? We'll just leave it at that. So yeah, I have not much ups with me. I bought the Rider medals from the last capsule set from the CS Toys, but they won't ship until they finish celebrating the Gold Rangers arrival.
Stole my joke, you bastard. This is why I don't talk to people.
I
just steal my
I always
material.
Steal your joke. What else? Oh, I had that surprise Mandrake box that I didn't tell anyone about. That was in the vlog, and we all saw. That mouse works really well at work, and people think it's hilarious that I have a little dinosaur at my desk. And the Blade cards are really cool, even though it doesn't come with the Tiger Undead. I still like the set, though. And what else? Nothing has come in the mail. I'm so depressed. I'm waiting for Metal Set 4 impatiently. I have a sore throat, so yeah.
From certain activities.
Well, you know what? When she said suck it, I couldn't help resisting. I couldn't resist, so.
I knew it was a she-male.
No, it's not the blonde she-male. And what else? Oh, I had regionals this weekend, passed in Houston, and I took third in forms, and so I can go to nationals now at the end of June, which that'll be fun. That's like a whole week. And what else? I came back with a bruised rib and a big bruise on my leg, so if I start going ow, it's because I've moved and the bruised rib is just irritated. And then I just sleep on a sleeper sofa, and it hurt my back. So I'm in just a lot of pain, and I shared him with a Mexican. And that was fun. And
from what I got from that, he shared a cot with a Mexican.
Not a cot, I shared a room. He slept in the bed, and I slept in the sleeper sofa. But it was fun, and it was really boring, because they freaking took like a billion hours before I had to compete, and I fell asleep, and I got left to babysit the little kids. And
sorry, little kid.
One of the little kids was throwing her Build-A-Bear rabbit at me, and the other ones kept like they were playing their DS on Mario Kart, and every time he couldn't beat one of the missions, he'd just go, "Here, you do it. Here, can you do it?"
Just so I can make this joke properly, Fred Savage is the one
gay?
From. He's from Austin Powers with the Mole, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Whoops.
And so he kept saying, "Here, you do it, you do it." So I was helping him play Mario Kart, and they were having a good time. And that was fun.
I don't even know what that's from.
Fuck your mother. And I think that's it. I'm so upset. I haven't gotten a box. I'm having withdrawal. I haven't bought anything either. Like, I haven't bought anything in like a week. I don't know anymore, man. I don't know. I did wear my Ghost Day Night shirt.
First sign that we have a problem.
Man, all right. I wore my Ghost Day Night shirt with me to regionals. And it was so funny because we rode back, and I rode with one of my instructors and the Mexican child. And all three of us were wearing, like, nerdy shirts that were all black. I had Ghost Day Night, and then, like, Juan had a Star Wars shirt, and Ross had a Superman shirt. All three shirts were black, and we were all wearing blue jeans, so we all kind of matched. It was pretty weird and funny at the same time. And, yeah, it was a fun trip. Apparently, they give you giant food in Texas. Everything is bigger. The food is giant. We paid. Look, we went on a toll road. We had to pay a toll every couple of miles. We were kind of pissed. We paid almost $10 in tolls just to get to the hotel. Mm-hmm. Freaking gas, Texas, but whatever. I think that's it. I'm just gonna stop talking now because the one else is going on for like a billion hours now, and we have the rest of the podcast to do.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Robot Damashi. Yes. And Brian's lots of serenade, lots of ta, so.
That's not a real combo. I've never seen that.
I just be happy we get Sakozo next episode.
Oz only has two combos, Shauta and Tajador.
Puto Tajador.
I've heard rumors of a purple one coming up. I don't know. People tell me he had a green combo and a yellow combo in the past. I don't believe them, mostly because they spoke in a hick accent.
What about this Kukowarni? This Kukowarni I've been hearing about.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on anymore. I'm just scared.
Okay, should we start the news?
Yes, we should.
Okay, I'm
start the nudes.
Not mistaken. All right, let me take my shirt off. Okay, now that that's done. So we got epic picture of Super Robot Chogo King Gokaio.
Hooray!
Gokaio.
Yes. So it's not like that. I mean, it looks cool, but it's not like the epic of a picture. But it's exciting news. All we really know is it exists, and it's supposed to come out late September, along with, like, around the same time as Gokai Red, like, pimp out Gokaiger. And it looks cool and awesome, and I'm buying it to go be buddies with my Shinkano, and it's going to have heavy feet, allegedly.
Yeah.
So, it looks cool, and I'm excited.
It does look cool. Like, honestly, Shinkano is such a great figure.
It really is. It's so awesome.
I mean, it has flaws, yeah, but, like, they're so minimal. Like, it's just such a good figure. It's the Retro Fire series done right.
Yeah, and it's because they're, like, not redesigned. It's more like the actual show design, so if you don't like the redesign look.
Yeah.
See, I'm so biased against America. God, I'm such an ass.
You are.
Well, you hate America, man. You must hate John Casey. You're probably a communist.
You're a commie.
Better dead than red, I always say.
That's why John Casey killed Osama.
Let's take him out.
Probably did.
Killer, this bitch.
It was proven. No, seriously, that's proof.
But yeah, like, I'm excited.
It's gonna be awesome.
Like, Shinkano was fantastic, so, like, they can't really go wrong with this. And as much as I was ripping on it, Gokaio's design really grew on me, so.
I know, we're such hypocrites.
Having a slimmed down figure of it.
And we can do epic space battle poses.
Like, one of the things is, like, the mini-pla candy toys. Like, I really do like them because they're slimmed down, they're poseable. But, like, I'm such a, like, I want details.
Yeah, and then you have to put it in yourself, and then you have to do work. And who wants to do work?
Yeah, I don't really want to do work. So,
not
like,
me.
The Super Robot Chogokins are, like, perfect. Like, yeah, they don't disassemble and turn into their little vehicles, but I really don't care. I just want a poseable action figure. So, it's, like, the perfect thing for me, because it's like it's what I want from the mini flaws, but in a nice detailed diecast figure. So, fuck yeah!
So you have to buy it, but you're not a person.
Yeah,
your mother's not a person. That's what I heard. Or she likes donkey buckles.
You're cool.
I am cool. That's what the ladies tell me, and they want to take her out of my disco stick.
Okay, Gaga.
So, we're moving along.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's time for that weekly segment, the O's Rumors.
It's sad because this is a weekly segment at this point.
Up first, it says that the possibilities for an O's Gokaiger crossover is possible as more rumors have surfaced about it. Also, the latest episode guides have been released with some scans. The top scan above this right here shows the O's Shaja Tar combo, which Tar, fuck that, Shaja Ta. Okay, we're going with Shaja Ta. It's the Chach, Kujaku, and Cheetah.
Cheetah.
So it's Chach, it's a peacock, and it's got Cheetah fighting the Unicorn Yummy. Which, okay, first of all, Unicorn Yummy, cool. And also, notice the Cheetah, which, as we all know, right at the moment, Edgy does not have, so he'll probably be getting it back soon. Good to see him using other heads for
Can't believe you figured that out by yourself.
I know, right? Good to see other head metals finally getting used besides Taka. Starting to get a little annoying. Then it says, one poster from Two Channel said they saw six combos of O's lined up. I think we talked about this last week.
Yeah, I feel like we've done this
before. I'm going to skip this paragraph because... So then we have episode guide for the next 5 weeks. We have a picture of Pyoto Tira with the battle axe. I got attempting to smack Ankh, who's got his arm outstretched to stop it.
Looks like he's got a rope attached to his belt because he's about to round him up. Because he is a cowboy. Shut up, you dumb tadpole. I ain't nary no vampire.
We have... It says about 32. I'm skipping that because we're going to talk about this episode. So we're going to straight to 33. Edgy meets a friend from high school who invites him to a theme park. Edgy takes Date, Gochu, Hina, and Ankh with him. What was his dream when he was a high school student? I don't know. We'll find out, hopefully. But while they're having fun, Hina goes missing. Oh, no. What are we going to do? And then we see a picture with what appears to be little kid Ankh, Dr. Maki Kazali, who actually looks like he has the mummified legs. And Ankh.
Standing around like a little dude. Ankh fell asleep.
Yeah. And
mustache on his face.
Ankh Shingle's form is laying on the ground. And so let's see. It says here 34, Edgy's determined to save Gochu and Date, who were both kidnapped by a yummy. Edgy asks his friend Kitamura, who knows about the amusement park really well, for help. Edgy's friend is actually the host of a yummy, which came from his desire of wanting to rely on Edgy. When Ankh notices the yummy, Edgy finds out about his friend's desire, but ... we don't know. They won't tell us. It's a secret. Then it says episode 35. Hina uses Edgy as a model for her project and wins first prize in the competition at her design college. Okay, now personally, I would have gone with Date because have you seen those abs? I mean, come on.
She's
made to be a model.
Bitches.
I know. As first prize, she gets the opportunity to go to France. On the other hand, a yummy that wants to crush dreams appears the yummy is the Unicorn Yummy. Cool. 36, Hina's brother Shingles regains consciousness, and Uva manages to revive Gamel and Mizzou. What's he been doing all this time? We don't know. Maybe we'll find out. Let me get two scans for the show. First shows Kid Ankh eating popsicles and later lollipops. And then Birth aiming at the
like
owl yummy. Just like Shuki. Then we have some more pictures. The first one shows Kazali being kicked by Sa-Uba combo, Sai, Unagi, and Bata. Then we have the Sa-Gozo combo, the white Blessed Rita Borg, punching the owl yummy. So, you know, Sagazo back for some action, but he's not strong enough to beat the Aoyami, thus the need for Pyoto Tira. Then we see a picture with Pyoto Tira attacking the Aoyami with Kazali and full body Ankh standing nearby. And then we finally have a shadowed image of the Borokawani combo.
I mean, Kukawani?
Which, shut the fuck up, will be coming in the summer movie. So that's.
Fuck. I think he's their final form. I'm not sure, though.
So that's cool. So, yeah. You know, pretty epic. Like I said, cool to see more heads being used besides Taka. The combo colors
look
pretty
cool. I know you like seeing more heads.
Oh, I like lots of head. And,
Volkov, man.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just want to. I'm excited to see more about, you know, what's going on. Although it isn't, you know, it's a little strange to see like the whole. Oh look, shit's going down with Edgy. Anyway, on to the theme park.
Yeah, that seems so weird. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, Edgy's just being possessed by these evil metals, and he's going crazy and might murder everyone. But let's go have a fun day. I heard the Samurai Rangers are there. We want to go see their derp face. Like, it just seems so out of place. What are they doing? That's why it was so, like, back and forth. Can be so epic and then so mediocre.
Like, I mean, I don't have too much to say about, the plot points, because, like you said, everything just seems kind of so random, but...
so random. That show's canceled.
But, like, I'm just happy to see more random combos that, are, like, we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
And Sagozo coming back.
Because Oz really hasn't done that great of a job of, like, mixing it up like Double has.
We're one medal away from getting La Torata back.
Well, you know, Brian, you know what more random combos means. More figure arts for you to buy.
Uh-huh.
Because by putting
you're
in the
so
show...
rich, God, you're such an idiot. Why are you so rich? God damn it, these people in HJ, you just shut up and leave us alone.
By putting them in the show, it gives them license to make a figure out of it. And, of course, as per his contract, Fearless Leader here will purchase them.
Fearless Leader? I am Boris, and Kevin is Natasha.
What's that? What's... Sai Unagi Bata? I'd buy that shit.
Fuck yes, it's got the white blaster Beetleborg head and electric whips. I would buy that.
What was the other one? Sai Kujaku Chita?
It's Sha-U...
I'd buy that one, too. Fuck. These are random combos that actually have, like, these weird-ass color combinations that look awesome.
I still want my, what was it, Taka Tora Condor? I want that. With, like, effect parts? Yes. Oh, fuck yes. That'd be so, oh, my God. Excited now. Got me all hot and bothered. I'm having
hot
flashes.
You know what's got me hot and bothered? Your
Midgets.
Mother. Look. Them big old fangs are very nice. I like them a lot. That's all I'm going to say. They're very soft. And
stop
she gives it...
Balls.
And she gives it good.
Move on.
So she's a whore.
Lol.
I didn't quite say that.
It was implied.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. I said, no. Gives it for money. That's a whore. Gives it good just means she's good at it.
Depends on your definition.
Definition? Look here. What are you doing with that pea shooter?
Pulls out machine gun. I don't know, whatever. Let's just move on.
So this is our we need to like pre-record our thoughts on any O's rumors and just copy and paste it at the end. Like, whatever, O's.
Okay, so next up is more of me talking. That's right, folks. I talk a lot. So, hope you get used to it.
I'm sorry.
We have... you know what? Fuck you, too.
Brian and I have pre-arranged entertainment for these segments.
Yeah, they're touching themselves. So we have returning heroes and more Gokhydra updates. This all involves the...
To the left.
What? Excuse me?
I told him to go a little to the left.
Oh. Anyway. Oh. So this goes to the 199 Great Hero Battle. It's pretty cool as a picture, and it shows each of the returning people with the suit guy next to them. And they're pretty much doing the same pose, just like a mirrored image. And it's really cool looking. So for returning... people we have, besides Boken Red, Gohan Yellow, Shinken Green, and Shinken Gold, and we also have Naoya Makoto, who was Tsuyoshi Kaijo, a.k.a. Aka Ranger from Go Ranger, Hiroshi Miyauchi, Sokichi Banba, a.k.a. Big One from Jakka, who also was our Ranger in Go Ranger, which I really think they should have the two of them meet up and just really get confused, like they're looking in a mirror or something. And then he's also V3, so that'd just be a great thing to have. Just put all three. Put V3 in there, too. It'd be fucking hilarious. So then we have Kenji Oba, who plays Daigoro Ome, a.k.a. Denji Blue from Denji Man, which I believe that's the person that Mr. S met. Lucky bastard. Then we have Junichi Haruta.
I want to meet some people I've never seen before.
Kanpei Kuroda, a.k.a. Goggle Black from Goggle 5. Sayoko Hajiwara, who is... Rei Tachibana, a.k.a. Dinah Pink. Then we have Ryosuke Sakamoto, who is Shiro Go, a.k.a. Red One from Bioman.
Red One? Is there one called Black One? Lol.
Kenta Sato, who is Riki Honu, a.k.a. Red Turbo from Turbo Ranger. Which apparently I heard, so I saw somewhere that like the reason that he's back is because they originally got Red Falcon's guy back and he couldn't get in the suit that he was supposed to get in or something. He rage quitted and left, so they got Red Turbo. Then they have Keiichi Wada, who is Ryo, a.k.a. Ryu Ranger from Die Ranger. And I'm pretty sure he did other things besides that, but that's how he's coming back. And we have Mika Kikuchi, who was Umeko from Deca Ranger.
Somebody
Deca
I know.
She was also...
She looks really weird in one of the pictures.
Does the one where her mouth open like she's about to like, get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's also married to Red Racer. And she was...
Gohan Yo looks so bored in this pic. She's like, oh, fuck.
Tsuchi no Wa, the Go Wonder movie. So that was fun. And
Goggle Black looks like he's doing the Jedi mind trick. He's not the droid you're looking for.
And it's just
the Senshi you're looking for.
Three of the returning cast also played other rangers in the past. Like I said, Kiroshi Miyuchi also played Owl Ranger. Kenji Oba played Battle Kenya in Battle Fever J. He was also Jan's dad in Geki Ranger. And Junichi Haruta also was Dyna Black. So they may also voice these roles as well, which would be really cool. It's also to note that it's rumored that Owl Ranger's human form, Akira Shinmei, will be appearing alongside Akira Ranger's human form. So that'll be interesting. We have some pictures from the film. The first two show Deca Pink, Umeko with Murphy. Murphy!
I'm so sad now. I could have done my epic award-winning Sentai scan commentary on this story.
It says here that Umeko, she's the self-appointed leader of the Deca Rangers, of course. She's still patrolling, even after losing her powers, and she's going to appear with Murphy. And she's got her mouth all wide open like, you know, she's about to suck somebody, like maybe Doggy. I don't know. She's probably trying to get a raise or promotion. Get promoted from pink to yellow or something. I don't know how it works there.
Murphy.
She's all Murphy, and she's got a little dog, and he's all woof, woof. And then we have pictures. This one over here features Marvelous and Alt on top of a building.
That's they're auditioning for the new buddy comedy movie. Pirate and Angel. It's directed by Judd
Apatow. I was
going to
say Badass and Fag, but that works too. Then we have Gokai Blue and Gosei Black fighting Yogoshi Makuriten from Gohanger. And they're on the Edo Street area. And then at some beach, we have the Gokai Pink and Gosei Pink duo. Apparently getting pwned by Dagon from Magi Rangers. That's cool.
Next
we see Daigoro Ome Denji Blue handing out Anpan to and a Dai Denzin toy.
He's breaking the fourth wall.
Some kindergartners. And there's a businessman who's appears to be surrounded by who is Daigoro? That guy. Denji Blue, Umeko and Ryo. And so what happens there, I don't know. We see a picture of Ari and Monet with Saki. And she's like, why are these bitches around me?
She looks bored. Like, she's like, man, these people better pay me a lot for doing this.
I know, putting up with these fucking ears next to me. And then we see a picture, two pictures of Goren Gokaio from a couple of different angles. And it's a combination of the Go Rangers' first Flying Fortress, the Varabloom, and the Gokaio. Meanwhile, the Go Rangers Varadreen is rumored to be one of the next Gokai machines, which would form Go Gokaio, which is apparently different than this, so I don't know. Let's see. Then we have people posing Aka Ranger, Big One, and Goggle Black. And then we also see that Black Cross King is voiced by somebody named Kamiya. Kamiya? I don't know.
Aka Ranger's getting old. He's totally missing these foot soldiers in this next picture.
Yeah, he's fighting, and basically he's just like, I think he's got some kind of a vision problem or something. We see the Gosei Tenshis meeting Saki, Chifu, Genta, and Chiaki. Chiaki and Genta standing way far away from them, like, I don't want to be around them any longer than I have to.
They're actually talking about their copyright suit in America because their character has been stolen.
Then we see a picture of Yogoshi Makuriten. And who is this? This looks like Monet and... Is that Eri? Are those the ears?
Oh, It's Monet and Milfy.
Is that Milfy?
Uh huh. Yes. She's called the Ranger Key. Monet's like, duh, winning.
I thought it was like part of that thing. I don't know.
And look at Bendix. He's like, no.
He's like, I still want to be in Dylan, but then again, who doesn't?
Man, this is a long story.
I know. Just then we have.
Like, fuck. Wow.
The picture of Shinken Gokaio and then Joe and Marvelous. Episode 11, we're going to talk about that later, so piss off. Picture of Sid and Joe in their Gaia. What the fuck? Shit, who are they?
Zangak.
They all sound the same after a while. Episode 12, as Barazorg and Joe are fighting, Joe's reminded of a certain incident. When he finds out that Barazorg is actually his senpai, who he had great respect for, he disappears.
Yes, boss.
Aim to family is worried about Joe and wants to go search for him, while Marvelous tells her, just let it be and everything's fine. No one sees the wizard. Yes, Joe decides to head out and fight Barazorg once more to get his memories back. Bad guy appears. Galion forms Shinken Gokaio, which uses a Naginata and the Rekadaizanto. Let's see. The two tried to leave Zangak, and then Joe met Marvelous on the way. He's being chased, and Marvelous helped him out. Episode 13, a non-tribute that will revolve around Aim to Family working with a kidnapper that has money problems.
Sandman?
I don't know. Episode 14, this is the Car Ranger tribute. It says, what exactly is fighting for traffic safety? I don't know. This guy appears who ignores the red light and keeps driving and is scolded by an earthling. The chick bad guy tells him to capture a certain guy. The earthling was actually Red Racer. And then this apparently the monster guy has been in love with this chick bad guy since they were in high school. I didn't know bad guys went to high school. And she apparently falls in love with Red Racer, but this jealous guy is in love with her. So now we got a love triangle going on. I don't know what's happening. This just sounds like it's retarded, but whatever. I'm anxious to see what the Car Ranger superpower is. Episode 15 says a man and monkey head to Earth in a battleship called Free Joker, resembling Zangak's ship. At the same time, three giants of those blue guys appear and wreak havoc. Angry gold guy seems to be behind the attack and has an ulterior motive behind it. They use Gokaio to defeat him, and the man and the monkey reach Earth. A mysterious man by the name of Vasco da Jorokia, who seems to be Marvelous' old friend, and he calls him Mabe-chan. So that's going to be fun. So I'm glad to see all these guys back. It's pretty cool. Like we say, pretty much every time we hear about Gokaiger, they pretty much just make DK look like poo. I mean, like, more so than it already did.
Honestly. The pea shooter.
Like, seriously. But it's pretty good. I'm touching my penis. Not really.
That's how professional we are at the RRR offices.
Well, that's what happens when I see these guys coming back. I get excited.
Like, I'm looking forward to seeing all the different casts interacting, like the Ghost Agers with like the other random casts rather than just Gokaiger, which is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm gonna suck on a coffee.
And then there's all these people coming back that I don't know at all, but they're trying to use a Jedi mind trick on me, like, you know who I am. No, sorry. It's not working. Akaranger's so old he can't even fight. I'm sorry.
We have Big Juan. He's very flamboyant and has a cane.
He's like Chuck from that episode when he was in the insane asylum and he got drugged and he flashed and he was trying to fight nothing.
He's a pimp.
Like, I'm excited to see all these people come back, but like, I don't know half of them. So
Big One's
like
the original gangsta.
Big One is Kramer from the episode where he dressed up like a pimp. I'm just saying.
I'm not like a super excited.
Oh, Kramer for American Big One. Another campaign.
But, I don't know. I'm just excited to see where Gokaiger goes with it. Because I agree, like, it's taking DK out back and shooting him like all the other.
Honestly, like, I just look at
it's
DK and
taking DK
like
out back and raping him. And then shooting him.
DK was so horrible compared to this.
Like, you know, this, it's even this better is than how that. You do an anniversary season. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts. These kids got guts.
Damn, that was some serious rummage. God. Oh, fuck. Now! Now! He's invading. Now! The airplane landed. Now! Hello? He's dead! Okay, quick, let's get on with the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost Kevin.
Oh my god. But the show must go on.
Indeed it should. So let's move away from that long-ass story. And on to something else that matters in life, like
oh,
that trailer.
The great. Okay, yeah, sorry, I got confused. I thought I was doing Ghost Age for a second. All right.
You said help. Oh,
help. We're busy. Jump bitch, in the car.
Really, bitch, you are not allowed back in.
In the car. Alright. Alright, so.
Hey, see, he jumped.
There we go.
Hey.
Learning is fun. Okay.
What just happened?
You died.
Yeah.
Like, also not, like the thing just broke.
That's nice. Shut up, we're discussing a trailer.
Yeah, we're getting ready to discuss the trailer. Okay.
I missed that already? What the hell?
Okay, we're at the trailer. So, start off, you get this epic RRR opening, which is just the shit. Okay, so we got all the Gokaigers and the Ghostagers being like, versus! And then they're fighting everyone ever. God, this is moving fast. I can't commentate fast enough. And then they're like, oh, fuck, we gotta go talk to the Magisaints. That's what it looks like. They're calling them out. There's a logo. There's a planet. Oh, look, it's all these old people. And Zangek's attacking. But Black Cross, Blade Ran's fighting. Gokai Red, stop going so fast, trailer! They're filming a movie. Yes, boss. The Ghostagers are transforming, the Gokaigers are transforming. There's a fight. They're all posing. So it's a typical episode. More fighting. This is scenes from looks like the beginning war, the first episode. More epic shit battles. Yes. Bunch of villains. Oh, epic, like, mecha versus giant monsters. And they're like, 199, even though Kevin has an incongruent count and he can't figure it out and it's boggling his mind.
So I got 197. If I count Akka Red,
you get a free card that scans everyone ever. And it looks like sticker sheets. And that was the trailer. It moved incredibly fast, and I'm sorry. But all it really shows is the Gokaigers and the Ghostagers are teaming up to fight a bunch of villains, and it shows scenes from, like, two epic battles, and it shows, like, a bunch of Sentai mech running at a bunch of villains, and it just looks epic.
It does, like...
Yeah. So, like, so this
I don't know
is how
half
you do
these people, I don't know half these suits, I don't know half these shows, but I'm excited because it looks so cool.
I know, it's like DK done right.
It's like they took DK Dream to like Michael Jackson raping those little boys.
It's like it's funny because like the DK Rider War, I felt like they were gonna film the full thing later, almost like they got to the end. Hey, Bob, were we supposed to film that Rider War? What episode are we on? 31? Oh fuck. We'll just recut it from the first episode, no one will notice.
Then we'll just shoot DK in the face.
And then forget we did that.
Yep.
And then he's not really Todd Manning anymore. Man, pisses me off. Anyway, we have another trailer.
Yes, we have another trailer for another movie. For
see if Brian
Sentai.
Can keep up with the speed.
Let's see if I can keep up with this one.
This one. The Volkoff Man.
So we have the trailer for Tensou Sentai Ghostager Returns, even though I don't want them to in the last
my favorite Sentai ever.
Hopefully it is the last one because I'm tired of seeing them. So, like, all the Ghostagers went off into jobs, like Monet's digging dirt with Agri and... Apparently, Gosei Red stops bank robbers or something. But he looks like some sort of waiter. But anyway, they can't use their memory wash cards, so the public knows of their identities.
Why can't they use them?
It doesn't work for some reason, it doesn't say.
Why can't they use them? Because...
Alright. Like, Gosei Knight's here, and I just imagine him saying, God, you guys are a bunch of fucking noobs. And it's like, apparently the movie's just about them dealing with...
Their
like people
fame.
Knowing who they are and their
so it's
fame
like Ben 10 Ultimate Alien. That's what it's
yeah.
like. Because his identity is outed by a 10-year-old kid who filmed the documentary.
And like I want to comment more about the trailer, but there's just nothing really going
yeah.
on besides...
It looks like a really long, silly episode of Ghostager.
It kind
of
does.
The best thing about the trailer, Gosei Knight's in it.
Yeah.
And Datus, because Datus is my homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
And G. So that comes out on June 10th for DVD rentals, so we'll get the first, like, encodes around then. And then the DVD and Blu-ray comes out on the first.
Unfortunately, our summary won't be as epic as Shin Genger's, because it won't include any Galaxy Quest references.
Yeah. Whether we even get to it.
Yeah. We'll just watch it and be sad about it. And
that's the thing about movies, like, it gets a side burner here at the RR summaries.
Cause, yeah, because we're talking about every Power Rangers series ever. Yeah. And Digimon. And Beetleborgs. And Hey Arnold next after that.
Hey Arnold.
Ben 10 and then Hey Arnold right after Ben 10.
Yes.
Okay. So now.
So excited, like,
next door. Oh, sorry. I wanted to move on to SPD already.
Like, I do too. Like, this just looks dumb. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, see, these movies are supposed to be silly, I guess. And, like, I didn't mind it so much for Shinkenger because I like Shinkenger's cast overall better. And the only thing I'm really looking forward to see is Gosei Knight back because I love Gosei Knight so much. But even that, like, it's not that exciting. It just seems like something I have to watch because I'm obligated.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really that excited to see the Ghost Rangers return. I'd rather see Geki Rangers return. Or Power Rangers in Space return.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Or just watch Chuck again and get my mind blown.
Volkoff, man.
I know, man.
So let's move on to something that's actually really cool.
I'm so excited I wanted to skip the discussion.
We're going to me? Ghost Ranger returns, yay, question mark?
No.
I don't know. I'll have to see what's going on. I don't know if it's going to be good. Gosei Knight's good, so that's all I really care about. I don't know.
Basically what I said.
Yeah, what she said.
Fuck Gosei Drown to SPD. So, the coolest Power Rangers season ever, except all the ones that are cooler than it, like in space.
Space. In space!
And in space. And in space. SPD is airing in Japan as a dub, obviously. This is the first dub that Japan's had since Lightspeed. So it's been quite a while, and then considering how old SPD itself is, it has definitely been quite a while. So the coolest thing about this is it's to celebrate Sentai's anniversary and then Power Rangers' quasi-anniversary and
Power Rangers dubbing Shinkenger over there.
Anniversary, yeah, very easily. So what we got going on here is the Deca Ranger cast is dubbing the SPD cast for this airing. So we have Ryuji Saine, which was Bon. He is doing Jack.
That's going to be fantastic.
Which is just a mind boggle in itself. Like, Bon's voice coming out of Jack's body is just not compatible. So we'll have to see how this works.
I cannot wait to see this.
Tsuyoshi Hayashi, which was the mind fart, help me.
Hoji,
yeah. He is doing Sky, which isn't too big of a difference.
Yeah, except Hoji's better. That was great English.
Yeah, it was. Yosuke Ito, which you've heard a lot from lately. He's watching Gokaiger, and he does, like, little U-streams of it and stuff. He likes Sentai still.
He's, but, like, one of those PR actors I like that still, like, keeps up
yeah,
with the fans
he loves
and stuff.
It. He loves it. He's voicing Bridge, which I can totally see.
Yeah, that works too. Because Bridge will ask about this.
Sen is like 5 feet tall, and Matt Austin is just like the average height of a human being. But just saying.
It's just funny the way about it.
Yumi Kinoshita is doing Z, and then Mika Kikuchi, Umeko is doing Sid. That should be interesting. Like, I can see Jasmine and Z being fairly similar in tone. Umeko had a very high-pitched voice.
Yeah.
Sid didn't.
Yeah.
They're both annoying, so.
It's gonna be funny, though.
They were both annoying. Like, even the best part here is Tomokazu Yoshida, Tetsu, is doing the voice for Omega Ranger.
I cannot wait to see the ball of light float around being like, nonsense! Nonsense!
Like, I that's one thing, like, I hope they transition over from Deca to this SPD dub is nonsense. Just, I want to see a little ball right float around and go, nonsense.
It'd be so epic.
It would be
hilarious. I
want
to see Sky say, unbelievable!
And then, lastly, we have Tetsu Inada, not Tetsu, but Doogie.
Doogie!
Is voicing, Doggy. So, that'll be
perfectly.
Good. The voices fit, so. Sadly, Swan, Mako Ishino isn't voicing Cat, because Swan was a lot older than Cat. So I guess the voices just don't match up. But Rie Tanaka, which was a voice in Gundam Seed, she's a famous voice actress. I don't really know any of her roles because I never bothered to look it up. But she's a popular voice actress, so there don't see any problems with that.
Yeah.
And then the article just gives a little blurb about what SPD is and all
that.
Like, so.
I like how they say that doesn't match up, but Jack and Bond's voices totally match up.
Well, I mean, I was just guessing, but
oh.
I see your point.
Yeah.
But
maybe she just said, I don't want to do it.
Swan's voice actress is doing the show's opening narration, so.
Oh.
Like,
that's
anything
good.
They do in the opening and next time on, last time on, is all going to be voiced by her, so.
I think they should take your idea and do, like, the Jasmine Wah Espa desk for every one of their powers. Skywa Shield desk.
Bridgewa Espa desk. Bridgewa Shinking Post.
Bridges just takes both roles. It's just hilarious. It's going to be great. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's just going to be so funny.
Bridgewa Shinking Espa desk.
Oh, that's epic.
But, like, I'm so excited for this. It's ridiculous. Like I liked certain parts about SPD more than Deka, but I really did like Deka's cast.
Uh-huh.
And then I love SPD's cast so much. I think they're one of the best casts. They are the best cast of Disney era, in my opinion.
They are.
But and they were just a great cast all around, and the cast that got me back into PR. So, like, just seeing them again, and then hearing all the Deka voices that I liked so much, and then just kind of mashing them together.
It's going to be fantastic.
To create something I'm extraordinarily excited about.
I just think
it'll be really, really fun to watch.
I just can't wait to hear Jockman Bond's voice. I said Jock. Jock.
Jock.
It like gives me a funny accent when I'm ready to say Bond. It's just going to be great. And the nonsense and Figma, Deca Rangers. Cross.
I want that to happen.
So
it
epic.
Happened for Dragon Knight. Let's do it again.
Figma, Shadow Ranger. Oh.
Figma, Speedy Rangers. Fuck. Yes.
That'd be epic. Even if, like, Cat and, like, Nova are exclusives.
I don't care. I don't even care if they make figurines Deca Rangers because they're different. They are different, bitch.
They are different. They are different characters. God.
These are Dragonites. Those are Ryuki. They're completely different.
They're two different people. How can you not see that? You are dumb. Get out of my house.
Anyway.
Yeah.
These are set to air. This start airing this August, so we still got quite a while until they start airing, but... will we do summaries for these? Who knows?
It'll be funny.
We probably won't do summaries, but we might do little discussions about like
yeah.
things. Providing someone hosts the Raws or the... Hopefully someone subs it. That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Regardless if it's just the SPD script, like... I don't care. I want this. I want this shit so bad.
You want it.
Like, as much people give SPD shit, I love it so much.
I like SPD.
I'm like, oh, this video was full of potholes and it sucked. I'm like, fuck you.
Potholes? No, they drove fine. They didn't go...
Road was smooth!
God, road was smooth, bitch.
I mean, there was certain plot points that were ignored or not really explained all that well, but the series was just done so well.
What are you supposed to do when you're only given 32 episodes?
I had Greg Aronowitz doing, like, all the suits and the
That's
sets and everything,
Ranger.
And that guy's awesome.
They were just like, man, it's going to be awesome. The Volkoff, man.
Volkoff.
I tell you, totally fucked this up.
Well, that's all for the news, so.
Ah.
Now over to you, Jerry. The local weather.
All right, well. I guess that means it's time for.
Bathroom break.
Hero Pie! Go Kaija! Azimaru Kamen Rider!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bitches. So we're on episode 11 of the Gokaigers, which opens very Shinkenger-esque, which means also very samurai-like. Because we see Blue's training with his swords, and there's like Shinkenger-ish music, and they're in a samurai-like setting, and he's trying to look all epic. And Green and Pink are watching like, oh, you're so cool. You do the sword really well. We suck. And, like, Green's like, oh, I'm a derp face. I'm going to fall. Derp. And he's like, ah, oh, I am awesome. I catch you with my sword. Lulz. And it was all epic. And then it goes all, like, let's go, Kaiser. Go, go, let's go, let's Ashiwa Tore. Kimi no Mani. That's how excited I am. And then we see Gokaio spring into action to fight some of these big blue dudes. And they use their Starburst. Then they use Deka Gokaio and then Magi Gokaio. Because they're like, hey, remember these things that we got? Because you're not going to see them for a while. Lulz. And the bad guys were kind of pissed off. And they're like, Ern, we suck. We suck. And we're like, I know, right? You suck too. And meanwhile, our little bird friend, he's like, hey, beware of samurai. And these fools say samurai all funny because that's what they do. And they go down to Earth looking for samurais. But they see, like, these dudes practicing with those bamboo wooden swords. They're like, hey, are you guys samurai? And they're like, no, we're not samurai. Silly. So they're like, hey, thanks, bye. Meanwhile, like, Joe starts having a flashback of, like, being trained to fight, and there's his senpai Sid, who showed him this cool move he made up, and it was all epic. And then it was fun, and then they're gonna walk off, but all of a sudden you just hear like drum beat and like. What are they called? Kuroko's come in, and we see Shibakoru and that Tamba guy who's all obnoxious. And he starts yelling, and she's all like, Tamba, shut up. God, I'm sick of you. Anyways, I want those Shinkenger keys because I said so. And they're like, no. And then he like yells again, and she slaps him with the fan is like, well, then I'll fight you. And she gets a Shinkenmaru, and she goes and runs and attacks Marvelous. And he's like, I'm Neo, bitch, and, like, dodges it. And he goes to pull out his gun and aim the fan. He's like, no, don't do it. We need that Shinkenger power. He's like, fine. So Blue comes out and is like, duel me, bitches. And she's like, okay. But if I win, you give me back the keys. And he's like, hey, if I win, you give us that cool power. And then this ship docks with the Zangek ship. And this dude just comes in swinging a sword. Because that's what happens in Joe Focus episodes. A dude with a sword appears. And the metal guy goes and starts fighting him. And apparently he's like some Imperial Guard dude that was sent by the oily guy's dad. And they're like, Lulz, you guys suck. I'm going to help. And they're like, okay, cool. So Oily Guy's gonna go down to Earth with the robot guy and this guy, and they're gonna kill people and do stuff. It's gonna be all cool. And so Karu's gonna duel Joe, and they have epic fight. But then the Zangek attack, and I'm like, wait, no, okay, we're gonna time out here, and we're gonna go fight bad guys. So she goes and starts attacking people, and the Gokai just go attacking people. And, like, they do this thing where they are fighting, and then all of a sudden just, like, stop and be, like, they'll transform. So they'll just be all... And then be all, like, Gokai Red or, like, Gokai Blue or whatever. So that's all cool. And... So they finished taking out the bad guys with like double sword and gun action and stuff. And then the monster swordsman guy's like, I'm gonna come fight you, Lulz. And they're like, man, shut your mouth. We can do this. That's right, they go all Jew Ranger, and it's pretty epic because like the little thing comes out and it looks like they just morphed and it pops into their belt. And they pull out the cool weapons and they're fighting, and they're all like Tiger Dagger or whatever, and they're like Terra Bow and Tricera Lance and Mothbreaker, and they get pwned. They get totally pwned as the Jew Rangers. And seriously, this entire time, all I see is like Billy and Zach and shit. Even though I've seen some of Jew Ranger, all I can see is like the pink one jumping and I'm going, look, it's Kimberly. Wait, no, it's not. So that was pretty funny. And green totally makes Zach look gay. But he does that with everybody. And they're like, well, that didn't work. Lulz, let's try this. Yeah, because that's a logical progression. Dynaman. So they do some weird, like, dynamite attack thing where they basically, like, cannonball themselves all at once into this guy. I don't know, but that didn't work. So Blue's going to go attack Oily, and then the others are going to take out the monster. So then they change into... That's right, a third key change, because we didn't have enough key changes in this episode. We want to show off more powers. So they go to Ginga Man, and when he goes to attack, the metal guy shows up and stops him. So he's like, I am Barazorg, brah. And he does that, like, special technique that Joe's senpai made up, and Joe gets all like, wait, what? And he gets Dion transformed, and the others get pwned. Even though they're using all the cool, like, Ginga Man weapons, like the Quasar Sabers, because I don't know the name for it, and that little dagger fang thing. And they end up back as Gokaigers, and he's like, wait a minute, I know that technique. That's Cid's technique. And Oily's like, that's right. I turned that traitor Cid into Barazorg. I made him a cyborg because I'm a cool guy like that. Yeah. And so the dude's about to finish off Joe, but then, like, Marvelous steps in and takes the attack. And he de-untransforms, and, like, his cool pirate coat's all slashed. And he's all, like, bloodied. And then he pulls out his Gokai gun and, like, blasts Oily guy. And he's bleeding. He's like, even my dad never hit me. And we're like, that's why he's a prick. He was never spanked as a child when he did wrong. See? This is what happens when you put your kids in timeout. They become douchebags like Oily. And so they all, like, go away. What?
Why are we calling him Oily?
Because his name is Oils Gill.
Oh.
And so I just call him Oily.
Okay. Yes, boss.
And, so yeah. So now I forgot where I was. So they disappeared. And at this point, the other guys realized, wait a minute. We did good, except when this douchebag went down there. Damn it, it's our leader's fault. Marvelous collapses, and they take him back to the ship and patch him up. And Joe gets all sad face and goes up to the crow's nest and starts thinking for a while. And then Tomba's all like, hey, they're asleep. Let's take the keys. And she slaps him and is like, no.
Like Latin crime lord.
And she's like, no, we're not going to do that. I want to watch how this plays out more. And they're like, okay. And then... the next day, Milfy comes down and is all like, Joe left, and he left a note saying he has to go finish something by himself. What's going to happen? And then it just kind of ends with, like, Joe walking angrily down the street.
Because his name's Joe.
Gokaiger the streets.
Gokaiger 2, the streets. And the third one's Gokaiger 3D.
So, it was a pretty cool episode, I guess. I mean, like, they used a bunch of keys that were fun.
It's good.
Yeah, and what else is there? They used some cool keys, and that Oily guy's just a total prick. But whatever. That's good. I don't know. I want to see the next episode with Shinken Gokaio, and it's fun watching Karu slap her person again. That's fun.
Her person? I want a person that I can just slap when I get frustrated.
She's slapping her G around. It would have been better if the actual G were back. He could be like, Tono!
She had G, then he could just slap her G spot. Yo, what's up, G?
Yeah. I
want tickets to the Bears.
Or actual Bears.
It was a good episode.
Bear Grylls?
Yes, Bear Grylls. Like, it wasn't the best Gokaiger episode yet.
It was James.
But it was a really well done episode.
Yeah, it was a solid episode.
Like, Karu bugged me a little bit just because I don't think she's that great of an actress, but she's only like 15 or something, so.
Give her a break. She still acts most of the samurai cast.
Yeah, like, that's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm just slightly bitter because I would rather have seen, like, someone from, like, the actual Shinkengers.
Yeah, like, that kind of bugs me, too. Like, her whole standpoint seems to be, like, she's trying to get the keys back for them. Mm-hmm. But it still bugs me, like, because it seems like for the tribute episodes, they always have the Reds, and I think it should be Takaru. I don't know. I guess it's an interesting choice. Mm. And it's unique, but at least I got somebody back that was actually in the show.
Yeah.
Like, if this was DK, she would be Takaru. And it wouldn't be played by the same actress.
This is true.
And the Sneak Rangers were really TV personalities that were on a cooking show. That's the Decade world. Shinkenger actually was in Decade, which is funny. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Just...
And they were normal.
Shut up.
Wait, what?
It's my joke, and I'll tell it the way I want to.
But, like, there was progression with Joe and Barazog. Oily guy finally actually gets off his ass for once, and then ends up being a total pansy ass. To be expected,
he got
of
slapped.
Course.
Yeah.
He got slapped and was like, ow, he actually hit me. I was like, what do you think was going to happen?
The field is dangerous. I want to stay in the car.
I don't like this.
I want to stay in the car.
Oily, stay in the car.
I'm ready. Let me out of the car. No, you don't have an intersect. I don't have Alexei Volkov implanted in my head. Gosh.
God.
Yeah, basically what Brian said.
Yeah.
Like, it was a solid episode. The stunts were awesome.
Like, I'm pretty sure it was Koichi again.
Yeah, like, you know it's Koichi when they do a civilian fight scene. I think, like, people that do Sentai are allergic to civilian fight scenes. Like, it's, like, unheard of over there. That's why we hardly see any in Samurai, like, until now.
Yeah, but it's really, like, I really liked that, like, the fight scenes are cool, and I really like that whole transformation roll call sequence. It's definitely a lot different than what they usually do.
I'm looking forward to see Joe's backstory more. I'm glad they're setting it up. Because he's kind of got, well, arguably one of the most intriguing ones. And I like the guy that says, yes, boss. I kind of hope he is Gokai Silver now. So that he can just run around and call Marvelous Boss and be like, yes, boss. I love it. It's just so funny. So obedient. He's like Eclipter after he got, like, bitch slapped. He's just like, yes, boss. They're kind of like, fuck no. I don't know.
But now it's quiet. But yeah, it was an all-around solid episode. Like, it wasn't the best, but...
It was good.
It was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't like, oh my god, this is the shit ever. But it was
like,
entertaining.
On the flip side, there wasn't anything bad about it either, so...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for Epic Barney, if he rode majestically in the wind.
I know, right? We're getting another cool...
You know how badass you have to be to smoke a cigar with damn mittens on?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Yes, I do, because that's what I do for fun every day of my life. I am just badass epic. So...
You're not.
Neither is your mother. What now, bitch?
I don't know. Just
do
summarize,
the summary.
Asshole.
Just summarize, monkey.
Fix the list, monkey.
You didn't do it yet. Still, I'm still waiting on those Magic Rangers to be on there.
So, fuck you. We're on episode 32, and remember last time we had that guy with the yellow hair, and Dr. Maki stole some purple medals, and five of them went into Edgy, and he was all a collapsed face.
We've
I don't even know what that
last
means.
Episode.
But you know what? You're gay and you're gayer and you're gayest. How's that?
I'll start mine. Remember what happened last time on Turbo? They started off with the movie and then...
So they're at the Hopsicle and apparently they can't find anything wrong with Edgy. And, but they're gonna let him stay there. But then he, like, wakes up and he's all like, hey guys, what's happening? And they're like, wait, what? And they're all confused. And then Kazali is all confused. Like, why'd they go in O's? And Dr. Maki's like, well, I mean, they probably thought he'd be like a good, you know, way to like revive or whatever. And and stuff. And then Kazari's all like, well, they're going to get sealed away because they suck. And Dr. Maki's like, well, those purple ones weren't there before. They only came about recently, which is kind of strange. And I'm not sure exactly what that means. I mean, I know what it means, but like, I don't know what modern means.
They were retconned because Triceratops is no longer a dinosaur.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it means in this context. And so then, I don't know. Nothing's really happening. Obviously, it's two Terayamis, and they're all like, brah, we're going to destroy things and turn them into nothingness. We're like, what? And so you count the metals, one, two, and three, life goes on, anything, oh, is coming up, oh's. You enjoy that, you little faggot? You enjoy doing that to me? Every week? Every week I come in, I work hard, do these summaries. You just come in with your little, think you're all cool?
That cracks me up every week.
Is that it? You think you're a cool guy for doing that?
I'm a cool guy.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Just because you own every figure art ever and are in like $1 billion in debt, no Oki, like three kids and half your organs, does not make you a cool guy.
I'm going to have to transplant myself into an android because I owe Oki all my organs.
Oki an android?
He's going to become Grievous.
He was a robot.
He was a person.
So apparently that yellow haired guy can see him.
Roger, roger. That'll be your only two lines for the rest of your life. You'd be like, Jukun Shinobi be like, uh-oh, opens box. Pulls the item out. Roger, roger.
That's true.
He does a review, drops something, uh-oh. And then the end of the video, roger, roger. So these Terayamis go around and they showed a black fog and some lightning and it makes people just disappear completely. It's a little weird. And the yellow hair guys are like, well, I've learned from you guys that I have to think about consequences of my actions before doing things. I was like, yeah, it's probably a good lesson to learn. And Edgy's like, yeah, I was like you once. I gave a bunch of money to these people one time trying to help them, and it started a civil war. Yeah, and it got to these bad guys, and it started a civil war, and the guy's like, wait, what? That sounds kind of insane. And he's like, the only people you can help are the ones you can reach. So I can only help this much. And he stretches his arms out.
Like, I love you this much.
That's the first thing I thought of. I see his this much in that face he makes. And then he's like, but it might not reach. Wiggles hands. Does jazz hands. And so he's like, I can just touch people. And then I can reach them and help them. And it's like, okay, you're a little weird. And so then their spidey sense starts tingling like, yummies. And they run after them. And Edgy's all like, Ankh, Ankh, give me some Metaroos. So he goes all, oh, wait, my scanner's not on. I got this. And then Birth transforms. Ugh. Insert Birth here.
I'm working on it. God.
Yay. And then they go fighting after the yummy, and they're just fighting the male yummy because they don't know there's another one. And it's not going well. And Goto's trying to help save people, but, you know, they're just stupid. And this dude's like, ah, this desire is meaningless, burp. And, like, he zaps Edgy with some lightning. And, like, the metal shoot out of his belt, and he de-untransforms. And,
So he's still transformed.
You know what? You know what?
Sorry.
You know what?
Sorry, it's cool.
My balls.
It's cool.
But, should I make it bigger?
It should be cool. But
he spit on you. Not sure though.
And he did this cool thing with the taco legs though. That he like walked on walls and shit. That was pretty epic. But anyway, so he's the untransformed. Then a second Terayami comes in, the female one, and Birth gets jacked up. He gets the untransformed, and like
his suits are really terrible. They're not de-untransforming at all.
And his fireballs are hiding under some stairs, and Edgy wants to help people, but they're like, this is probably not a good idea. There's like fireballs and shit, dude. He's like, no, I don't care. Runs. And then the two yummies do the Kira scream and cause an explosion. And then we're back at the restaurant watching Edgy get bandaged up. And he's like, well, you need to pay attention to what you're doing because you're stupid and you're going to get hurt. And he's like, you know, Edgy, I remember you. Lol's face. And he goes upstairs to talk to, you know, to Mope and or whatever. Well, Date tells him about Edgy's past. Apparently, when Date was in Africa, he heard about this big rich politician's kid who went to go help a village during a civil war, but he didn't. He ended up being the only survivor because of his family's money, and of course that was Edgy. And he was like, yeah, I heard about that. All I heard is that he couldn't save this little girl who was little kid Iris. And she's always such a kid, God. And you're like, no, you. And
clearly doesn't watch the Pokemon anime because he knows if she's still alive, he can solve all of his anguish. Whatever.
This is true. And then his family, you like took the story and used it to get votes and sympathy and shit because that's how bunch of bitches they are. And so now Edgy has like no desire or whatnot. And
he doesn't even masturbate seriously. That was gross.
And then Ankh's all like, so I see
no
desire than I thought. And he's like, yeah, I guess, but that's in the past, so it's okay. And I'm just like, whatever. And Hina Chan's all sad. And then Date does his best impression of Cake Boss. He even says, Subarashi! And it's pretty funny. And he's like talking about desire and shit. And then he says something, and like all of a sudden Cake Boss bursts in and goes,
make sure we get this 100% accurate.
But he says,
if we get this line wrong, we're fucked.
He just yells something and like scares the shit out of Date, and it's pretty funny. And he explains that like because Edgy has no desire, it's why he can use the metals without going crazy. That's what we thought. And then also though, it's why the purple metals are attracted to him, because they're like the desire for those metals is emptiness. Or as he says, nothing.
Nothing.
And, yeah, so he came all this way to tell them that. And then Secretary opens the box. She's holding it as a cake with dinosaurs on it. He's all...
Alternate?
Horse!
He's all, happy birthday! And you know, it's kind of creepy. And he's really strange. And apparently these metals have taken root in that void where his desire would be. And now they're going to increase the chance that he'll go crazy. And so, yeah, that kind of sucks. And so then these Teriyamis start making more people disappear. And the purple metals react inside Edgy. And Ankh's Spidey Sense goes off. And like, yummies, let's go. Springs into action.
So
they arrive. And they're like, Medaru, Medaru, okay.
8 minutes.
And I'm like, now avoid their shit this time so you don't de-untransform, you dumbass. He's like, okay. So he's fighting them both, and Birth comes in, he's fighting, and then this little girl's crying, and then he like freaks out as a flashback and goes to help her, and then he gets zapped, and he gets de-untransformed trying to save her, and then like he's about to get like smacked some more, but then the purple metals inside of him like shoot out, and they block the attack, and then they stick themselves in the belt, and the scanner comes on by itself, and it scans them, and it's all... And his eyes glow purple, and he transforms, and it's all cool, and he's like, I'm Epic Barney. And like you see, like giant, light wings and tail, and like ice shoots out because he's just using sheer cold now. And so they're like, "Hey, this power is just like ours." Lol's face, and so he attacks them, and he like flies in the air with his terror wings that shoot out of his neck, and the leg armor turns into like a giant tyranno tail. He whips them out of the sky with. It's all epic. And then he scans, and he's like, he wanted to do the combo again, but instead he got scanning charge. And he's like, oh, I forgot this one. So, like, the Tricera Stinger is, like, latch out, right, and stab into the chick yummy, and then the Terra wings flip out of his neck and, like, flap, and then, like, shoots ice at her and freezes her. Then he swings the Tyranno tail around, and it shatters her into a billion pieces, and it's epic. And then she turns into a stun bottle, which he grabs. He reaches his arm under the ground, pulls out the battle axe, pops it in, and it's all, like, gulp. And then he flips it into a bazooka, and it's like, Putotila no hisats. And, like, he blasts it, and it explodes into a cell metal. And he turns it back into a battle axe, and he just goes crazy and starts attacking Birth. And I'm like, wait, don't do that. It's me. It's Dante. Remember my abs? They're beautiful, remember? And remember you washed your little, you know, raggedy clothes on that day? We had bonding time? And then he's about to hit Dante again, and, like, Hina-chan steps in the way and is like, no, Angie, you know, I help you. Me love you long time. Sucky, sucky, five Dara. And,
me so honey, me so stupid.
And then, like, he, like, zonks out, Dion transforms and, like, flips back to normal. And he's all like, whoa. And then he, like, collapses. And then we see Dr. Maki dressing his little doll, and Kazali pops the other five purple medals into him, and apparently Dr. Maki is going to turn into the purple greed, and his eyes glow purple too, and Kazali's all like, lols. And then we see he makes a Terra Yummy out of a candlestick, apparently.
Fuck yes.
I guess because candlesticks have no desire, so they can make purple yummies. And then it's all ding, 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 and the purple medals get added to the count at the end. So that was a cool episode. He was so epic. Putotira was fantastic. I cannot wait to get my medals in the mail. They are the shiz. And what else? I don't know what else. I mean, that was pretty cool. It's good here. We finally got Edgy's backstory, like a more complete version of it. And we find out why the purple medals are the way they are and stuff. So that was pretty fun. Battle Axe is cool. I'll just throw it to you guys, and you guys can have fun with it.
Dawson catches whatever he throws. Okay. Ew, it's wet. Anyway. It was definitely a good episode. It was good. Like, it wasn't, like, my favorite OZ episode ever. Like, I didn't find it quite as, like, revolutionary as that episode where they explained everything ever. But it was definitely a good episode, and it was good to finally hear about Edgy after 31 or 2 episodes or whatever this was. And Putotira is pretty badass. I couldn't help but laugh, like, all our discussions about how Kogami probably made the axe. Nope. He just reached into the ground and grabbed it. That's epic.
He reaches and rips that.
I'd probably like the Metal Jalaber if he did it that way, too. Just reaches into the ground and grabs it.
Just, like, yes. He just punches the ground and pulls out a fucking battle axe.
That's badass. It's like the definition of badass. And Putotira overall is pretty epic. The wings out of his head do look a little bit awkward.
Yeah, just a little.
It looks kind of like he's got, like, epic ears. Like, that's Ares' power. He can just, like, bitch slap people with the ears. But other than that, it was pretty epic. And, what else? And, like, after he, like, de-untransformed back into Edgy, like, it just, Edgy's, like, whole, like, physique and persona doesn't fit that whole berserk badass that Putotira is.
Yeah.
Like, he goes back to Edgy, and he's just like, oh, hey, guys. Like, it reminds me of the Hulk. He just turns into Putotira and goes nuts. The only other comments I have is it's cool to see him using more, like, metal combinations, and also the scene with Cake Boss scaring Date was hilarious.
It was.
Cake Boss is the shit.
Like,
I think
he's
that his
person... Like... Super Oshii! And then he says something
like,
along
oh,
the line, and then Cake Boss just, like, kicks open the door, and he's like, Dottisa!
And he's like, oh, fuck, and he almost, like, falls over. It's hilarious. Oh, that was great. And next week looks good. Although, it's, like, all this epic shit's going down, and then they're just like, LOL, fun of the amusement park. But whatever.
But, like,
your turn.
It was just such a good episode. Like, between Gokaidron 11 and... OZ32, like, it was probably, like, the best hour of superhero time we've had in a while. Like, it was... Putotira was so epic!
Mm-hmm. Here is Epic Barney. He's the shit. Like, I want him to reach into the ground and grab a cigarette and smoke it.
There's a couple things like I didn't like the giant wings coming out of his head was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And the tail just kind of appearing.
Yeah, that was weird,
but,
too.
But, like, it's just such a majestic-looking combo. It probably, like, shits rainbows and barfs glitter. I don't know.
Barf's awesome. It's like barf's glitter that just kills you because you can never get it out of your car.
It's death.
I want to shit rainbows.
Well, like, I'm looking forward to seeing, like, what happens, like, next time he goes Putatira. Is he going to go batshit crazy again, or was this just a one-time-only thing? Or?
I'm kind of hoping that if it's not, like, all the time or it's always fixed, I'm kind of hoping it's kind of off and on, because it'll get old, like, having, like, one of the coolest-looking combos just be, like, a meat brain. Like, I'm hoping it's either gets fixed eventually and he can use it whenever he wants, or if it's like an on-and-off thing, like a time limit.
Yeah.
That he has this, like, 10 minutes, like an Omnitrix or something. Because it just gets old. He's like, "Rah, me kill everything! Me Bonnie, I destroy you! Give me the Topo Man doll!"
Like, I'm just curious, like, if he ever gets to control it, because, like, right now they're just going to shoot out of his body and take over.
Yeah, the whole thing behind the purple medals is weird. I feel like a lot of O's is just made up on the spot. Like, oh, we need a reason why Edgy hasn't gone berserk. Oh, fuck, we'll write that right now. What about Putatira? I don't know what's going on with that. We'll just do that as we go along. Something about a candle and the medals can move on their own. They're controlled by that spirit in Brian's vlog.
It's a phantom.
It was hilarious. I also can't help but, like, not laugh, but just, like, look back on Edgy's original character description when we were, like, bashing O's. Like, it made him seem like a total, like, apathetic, depressed person.
Yeah, like,
he's Kevin during his blue period.
He doesn't care about anything. You know, like, yeah, it made about his underwear.
Yeah, it made him sound like this really, like, depressed guy that just walks around, like, really bored, and, like, he just finally found something to do with O's, but where is this just that Edgy, it's more accurate to describe that he doesn't care about any, like, himself. He cares about everybody else. Yeah. And helping people.
Mm-hmm.
It just was a pretty inaccurate character.
He kind of confuses me because they go on about how he has no desire, so he's a host for the Purple Medals because
he desires to help everyone.
No desire. But he wants to help everyone and doesn't care about himself.
Yeah.
But that's a desire to help people.
Yeah, because, like, I could see a bunch of, like, yummies coming out trying to be heroes everywhere, like that one yummy.
Like that, the grasshopper.
Yeah, just a bunch of, like, pterodactyls just flying around. He just spawns Batman.
Across the street and...
That's how Batman was actually born, out of the desire of Edgy.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. I do.
Do you know?
You're so special, Nathan.
I know. I'm special.
So
special, I bag the groceries at King Supers, even though they could totally eliminate that job like Walmart. Anyway, now it's time for...
Samurai Summary Shuki.
I know, I forgot that I did it. But it's gonna be so golden.
Yes, it will. This is a golden episode.
So golden that they celebrated all week in Japan.
Exactly. Japan's like, fuck, we need to celebrate this goddamn episode. And they're like, fuck, golden week, yeah.
Let's ship out Dawson's package and then leave Matt hanging.
And me hanging. Goals.
Well, you technically haven't... What have you paid? You haven't gotten to pay.
I haven't paid yet.
Yeah, so...
You don't count because you have no money.
That's why I haven't paid yet.
Whoa!
Okay. So, episode 11, Unexpected Arrival, even though we all knew and expected it because...
The Gold Ranger arrived sooner than expected.
It's really true.
I don't know, like, we got a whole introduction for him before we got there.
Six episodes or something.
This is ridiculous.
Plus the first two episodes, we skipped, like, half of Shingenjar already.
Pretty much. So, I skipped Richard Brown, man.
I know, I'm so mad.
I know, that was one thing I was looking forward to. Angry sips.
Angry.
Water. I'm going to take an angry sick too. Angry sick.
Oh, yeah. So, we start...
It sounded like a kiss. Sorry.
It always does, that's why I'm, like, so, like, cautious when I drink.
Cautious.
Like, water bottles make, like, the most obnoxious, like, sex noises.
Oh, God.
All right,
me
so,
too.
We start with Antonio, and he's all like, "Ore, Sanjo!" And then he's like, "Goruda!" And he, like, slams his little fish thing closed and the Octazord's like, oh, fuck, you slammed the door in my face. Cries.
Poor Octazord.
I feel bad for him. I want to give him a hug. I remember that I can because I have the toy.
Fuck yes.
I can hug my tiny one from the Shinken Gold figure, too.
And so the other five are rushed to the lake area, the pier, I guess. We'll call it the pier. And they're like, dude, the gap sensor toy went off, and like Kevin looks at it, and it's like all glowy, and he's like, see, it works. And
the gap sensor totally went off. Turn around, there's a Gap store behind them. See, there is a gap here.
The wind blows, which is actually the Nylock, but we'll get to that later. And Jane's like, oh, fuck, I have a stalker. And I think it's Antonio, personally. I think Antonio's a stalker, but
I think he is.
I don't think
he loves zombies, man. He's a horror movie fanatic.
So I was like, go, go, Pump Rangers! Go, Furry Rangers!
Go, Furry Rangers? That's something different.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
I want to hear the Polish version.
Oh, God, no, you don't.
Okay.
So the Shiba house gets pwned by an arrow, and it's like 7 days, and actually it's
7 days, 6 nights. Harrison Ford.
You win a trip.
Anne Hathaway.
And it's like, see you soon.
It's spam. Fuck. Tired of these spam arrows.
Oh, gosh.
Kevin, it's for you.
Aw.
It goes for both of you.
Dang it.
Yeah, so it says, see you soon. They're like, what is it, a Nylock? And like, no, it smells fishy. And she's like, ha, that's funny. And Mike's like, no, really, smell it. And she's like, ew.
It smells just like you, Emily.
So then Jane's writing a letter to Takeru saying how much he sucks at being Takeru.
Please and help me be more like you.
He senses his invisible stalker, and no one can feel it except him. So I think Jane just kind of lost all sense of sanity. He's finally reached the zombie point.
Yes.
Or he's just high, one of the two. I haven't quite figured it out yet.
I think it's both.
He's like, dude, I sensed it. And then Mia responds with bad acting, and then she responds with worse acting. And then Jane tries to cut Emily's head off because he's an asshole.
Like, dude, you missed. You're going for Kevin.
He's like a millimeter away from slicing her half of her goddamn head off, and he's just like, oh, sorry, Em. I'm like, what a goddamn douchebag.
I have to admit, she had some pretty decent acting there. I think they used an actual sword to enhance her performance.
Probably.
This is how we're going to get her to act better.
So he, like, wanders around the house like some sort of maniac. He's like, oh, I guess
there's
something
bad acting.
Here. And so he goes to wash up, and he's like, it's gone. So I think he looked in his pants and then realized that he needed that spam from earlier. He's like, it's gone. So,
oh, my God.
The others go for a walk to the same goddamn broken sensor. And like, look at it again. They're like, see, it is not broken.
And then they go, wait a minute, it's sensing a baby gap. Damn it.
Then they see Antonio, like, a couple feet away, and he's all, like, he's trying to sell himself on the corner to the ladies. He's a one-man business, yo.
He's trying to buy his figure art.
He just wants to buy himself.
God.
And so Emily takes a flyer, and she's like, hey, this handwriting looks familiar. It's from the penis message from earlier. And so we're like, hey, you sent us that spam. You gave us a virus. You gave the Shiba house a virus.
No,
and he's like, oh, fuck. And he tips over his little cart thing so that ice goes everywhere. And apparently ice cubes make you trip.
I've done it before. Just kidding.
Okay.
I was just kidding.
Okay, apparently ice cubes make you trip on cement. I can understand if it was a kitchen floor, but cement, really? So anyway, they trip, and then he runs away, and he's like, he's so fast. I'm like, no, bitch, he is not TJ.
He is not as fast as TJ. TJ could be like, catch up with him in a second. He just grab his collar like, bitch. TJ is accelerating.
TJ is like fucking Speedy Gonzalez, except he's black, so he's like some sort of
Speedy Jordan. I don't know.
Speedy Tyrone.
Sure. So, Mike and Emily go after Antonio,
okay,
and awesome. Then Kevin and Mia go back to acting school because they suck.
So, you and your racist jokes,
now
awesome.
Now we're at the Sanzu, whatever.
River?
And Octadouche is like, I want to spy on Jaden with the seal character because I just want to see what it looks like.
Where's my lotion?
But instead, Jin uses smoke screen and they get pwned. And then Octadouche responds with bad acting while a monster responds with on nuts.
On nuts.
Beautiful writing by the samurai crew, guys. Mike is a lazy bastard and sends Emily to do all the running while he just goes around the corner to try to cut him off.
He actually just went to 7-Eleven to get a churro, but...
Meanwhile, Jane fights the Nylock and Kevin and Amir arrive at their acting class, which happens to be exactly where Jaden is, so the irony is kind of really good there. And Jaden learned his secret that the monster hates pure water because he only likes, like, sewer water or the water that is in the place that we stay at whenever we went to Canada. And it makes him not a stalker anymore because he can't see things when he has pure water. So he uses whirlwind and everyone gets pwned. He's like, and everyone dies.
Bulbasaur, whirlwind! everyone dead. See what happens? That's why you teach a Bulbasaur whirlwind.
Yep. Mike and Emily do their best retarded run. Just to pretend they're doing something.
They're like, what are you doing?
They answer their phones. Apparently they're completely oblivious to the guy in the corner with the fish box. He's just hiding, like, he's hiding behind a dumpster, except he's not even hiding behind the dumpster. He's hiding next to the dumpster.
With a giant fish box.
With a giant fish box.
It smells like fish.
It's like, oh, let's go to whatever the fuck it was called. I don't remember because I don't care. And so they arrive, and they proceed to get pwned and Dion transform. And Antonio arrives and throws exploding fish at the monster. Yes. So fuck yes.
He got them from...
exploding chopsticks. This guy throws exploding fish.
He got them from Mrs. Whitebottom.
Yes. Because only she would have exploding fish.
She's like, what are you doing with this pea shooter?
He continues it with cheesy dialogue about gold puns and that this is going to be showy. So apparently he's a Gokaiger. I don't know. And so he's like, Samurai Morph for gold power. And I'm like, okay. And so we go through his morph sequence that isn't as long as the others, and it was really good up until this pointless flip at the end.
He's got to fill time.
Like, it's not even like a flip. It's like he jumps and then rotates and then lands. Like, it's not even like an actual flip.
Look, he's a little heavier, so he can't do it.
And so he's all like, see, isn't it awesome? And they're just kind of staring. He's like, oh, I get it. You need time to process this because I am that fucking awesome. And Emily's just like, he's so sparkly. And we're like, God damn, what are you, fucking six? I admit the line made me laugh, though. Even though it was a Kotoha line, but
yeah.
We'll get to that later. Antonio proceeds to pwn all of the moogers that the Flynn Nylock throws at him. Joke being, the Nylock is apparently voiced by Flynn. I don't know if that's true or not. But
I couldn't pick that up at all. He should have voiced the Scottish one.
It doesn't sound anything like him, but...
It doesn't.
Whatever. So, with his Barracuda Blade, which is actually a really cool name.
It is cool. It is a cool name.
So, he's all like, lightning flax, reflexes, and sheath slash maneuver.
Bro. Lightning flax? Get your system in check. Have regular poops in 5 days or less.
I can't talk. You know this by now. We'll cough, just... guys.
We'll cough, man.
And apparently it makes Emily happy in pants. So, Antonio remains a cocky fuck and shows off and then falls around and... flops and then shows off some more.
This is all people gets, in HDU.
He gets pwned by bad CGI trees. And so Jane saves him, and then Antonio beats a monster with his Barracuda blade. They morph, go Mega Mode, make the Battlewing Megazord. The Nylock goes invisible, and he starts pwning them. They're like, fuck, we can't see him! God damn it! And so Antonio's like, oh, they're getting pwned pretty bad. I should text the Octazord. And so he's like, 666.
Oh, God.
And that apparently summons the Octazord. So now, like, Ranger Board's doing this thing about, like, how the Octazord is Cthulhu and Antonio's a Satan worshipper or something. I don't know. It was pretty funny. But anyway, the Octazord...
I thought he just texted him, where you at? Dude, got six dude where you at? Fish box.
It's like, I'm in your fucking fish box.
Turns into a Sprint commercial. Can you hear me now? Octazord's on an iPhone. Yes, I can hear you now.
So he goes Mega Mode, which is really cool. Like I'm still disappointed that he has a Mega Blade instead of like a cool pimped kind of version of the Barracuda Blade.
Yeah,
but like it doesn't really matter since he never actually used the blades for anything anyway. But he is so fucking shiny.
Seriously, he's so
he's like chromed beyond belief. His helmet got like 12 shades shinier. It's really ridiculous, but it looks really nice. So,
Cough, man.
the Octazord shoots ink to make him visible and then rapes his face. It's kind of like what Diddy's move in Brawl that, like, they hump, he humps their face. It's exactly what the Octazord does.
Them.
Basically. It's like stand-up teabagging. It's ridiculous. And so he uses a battle wing, and then he dies. And so they meet up in the park, and Antonio Dion transforms. He's all like, hey, I just wanted to help you because of all the Nilox popping up, and I'm a cool guy. And Jane's like, oh, fuck, you're Antonio, you son of a bitch.
He gets, like, the best grin on his face. He's like,
And so Jane remembers them, and then we flash back to a bunch of Kiwi kids who can never pass as Antonio or Jane ever.
Seriously.
Playing at the Shiba house, and Jane's practicing, and Antonio's just running around in circles chasing the Octazord. And so Antonio has to leave, apparently, like, forever, which is strange. Considering, well, Jane's sitting there writing, and then Antonio's running around, and then, like, there's a car horn. He's like, oh, I have to go forever. I'm like,
that's
are
not
you serious?
Epic goodbye ever. I have to go. By the way, family's moving forever. We're going to Marinoy. We're never going to be mentioned again.
And so, as a going away present to prove that they're BFF Facebook friends, Jane gives him the Octazord. And so Antonio runs off to the car because they said they'd give him candy. And so they're like, fuck, dude, I haven't seen you in goddamn forever, bitch.
Yo, what's up, son?
And so they have, like, some sort of, like, love connection.
Tony, I haven't seen your black ass in ages.
They have a sparring match in skinny jeans and golden shoes.
And a golden watch.
Music plays in the background. And apparently the two girls want to bang him, and then Kevin hates him. And then it ends. Mike has no opinion, apparently, because I don't think he had a single line that entire scene.
And Antonio likes to emulate Randy Jackson, but if you're going to fuck! If you're going to emulate any American Idol judge, you might as well do the one that's firm but fair. It's totally still left my Carly, but I had to say it.
Everyone likes someone who's firm.
God, we're losing him.
We're losing him again. So, okay. Oh, God, it's going to happen. So,
yeah.
The episode honestly wasn't that bad. Like,
it really wasn't. There's a lot to make fun of, but
there's
probably
a
the best
ton to make fun of because, like, everything is so just, like, overly cheesy and everything.
Yeah.
But, like, as a whole, I didn't really have too much I was complaining about besides, like, the usual.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't any additional nitpicks besides the Kiwi kids, but, I mean, they're just trying to save some money, and they're only in for a scene for a couple seconds. But
that's true, but they can still spend some time finding ones that can hide their accent. I know there's some out there.
Or just redub them.
Honestly, just get that kid from Dino Thunder.
Get the kid from Dino Thunder to play all kids ever.
Honestly.
Okay, lady.
All right. Lady, you want your tape back? What the fucking accent? I would fucking run screaming. Oh, fuck, it's a monster. What the fuck? Just thinking about that. Can't wait to get to the Dino Thunder summary now.
Okay, lady.
Oh my god, that was horrible. I'm still scarred.
That was horrible. In fact, I'd rather have the Kiwi kids than that.
I'd rather have the kid in the fucking conductor's hat.
That kid was a pimp. He probably turn into a
serial killer.
He was like that other kid.
They probably, like, teamed up. Anyway.
Like, I don't know, I really like, I mean, I'm not gonna say I really, really liked it because it wasn't, like, the coolest thing ever, but as far as, like, Samurai goes, I think it was a really good episode.
Yeah, I was definitely entertained. Like, I know that, like, the scene where they were running was, same thing happened in Shinkenju, but I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like, he ran really fast and funny, and then, like, Mike's like, fuck, he's fast. Emily, you go do this. I gotta go get a churro. Like, he seriously left her hanging. Like, I thought it was funny. It reminded me when they left Ashley to guard the whole place by herself in space. And then, like, they ran so derpy and, like, it was just really funny.
Like, it's just, you can tell, like, they were just like, okay, go. Pretend you're running.
Pretend you're running.
Like, when Mike was actually running, he was, like, fucking sprinting. It was like, poof. And then they cut to this scene, and he's right next to Emily, and they're just like, waddle, 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 waddle.
I know, it looked ridiculous.
And I'm like, what?
Like, why are you waddling?
Like, I noticed that right away. That was just funny to me, but, like, I thought the episode was actually fairly well done for Samurai standards.
It was probably my favorite so far.
It was my favorite so far just because I actually like Antonio.
So do I. Like, there are some, like, I wouldn't really say delivery problems because I'm going to chalk it down to, I'll say chalk it down, even though it doesn't make sense, to any problems with his acting at any point is just because that type of Japanese character is really hard to mimic.
Yeah, like Genta is like the maximum level of goofy.
That's Asian. Like trying to do John. That's why they didn't do it.
Exactly.
Like, that's an archetype that only exists here. Like, we have goofy characters here, but that particular type of Japanese, like, overly obnoxious, like, Japanese humor character only exists there. So I think he did a really good job with what he was given.
Yeah.
Like, there were certain times where it just came off as really bad, but that's because of what he had to portray. But the times that he wasn't bad, he was actually good.
Yeah.
In no sense. Like, the ending scene, he was good. And the part where he got found out by Emily, I thought he was good.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's already, like, threads saying, like, oh, Antonio's the worst Sixth Ranger ever. He sucks at acting. Okay, for one, Steven Skyler has the best background in acting of any of them. So if anyone's going to do a good job, it's him.
Yeah.
And I agree completely with what you said. Like, he did a great job considering the role that he was given with no freedom to lighten up the character.
Yeah. I'm surprised Mike gets away with as much as he does.
Yeah.
Like, Mike honestly reacts the most natural out of anybody.
Like, I mean, it was the first episode he appeared in. Give him a fucking chance.
Like, I understand the people, like, that epic post I sent you that are getting mad when people are like, oh my god, he's the greatest Gold Ranger ever. All the other Sixth Rangers suck compared to him. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, like on the flip side, he's not the best Sixth Ranger ever. He's not even the best character ever.
But I like his personality. Like, I mean, it's Genta, but I think he brings something different to it slightly.
Yeah.
Just seems different to me for whatever reason.
I mean, I get the feeling as, like, it goes on, like, he's going to bring a lot more to the character, so...
Yeah, it'll be kind of more like Mike, like, where it's his own character.
Yeah.
And I really love his Mega Mold. I like his Mega, the mold in his suit, too, but I like the mode also.
Like, the Mega Modes grew on me so much, and then his is just... It doesn't have the goofy mouth plate.
Uh-huh.
So it retains a really sleek helmet design. And then it's just so big and shiny and gold and black.
And people are like, God, why is that so inconsistent? I'm like, well, you know... From a universe standpoint, it makes sense since he made his own powers.
Yeah, and then not to mention all the other Mega Modes are their color in black, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure they wanted, like, one of the screen caps I've seen from episode 12 since it aired in France already. One of the screen caps I've seen, I'm pretty sure it was from Ika Shinkano. Because Gold was in the cockpit, and I know they didn't get Daikai Shinkano yet.
Yeah, I'm like, damn, they would have been fast if they did that.
But they were all six of them were in the cockpit at once, and like just the spread of them all being their color in black looked really nice against like the really bright white cockpit background.
Yeah.
So it looked visually appealing compared to like one of them being
blue,
like really shiny gold and blue.
Yeah.
And just like sticking out like a sore thumb.
I always just liked it because I like the whole black and gold thing coming back to Zeo Gold.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. I think you said that one of the other days.
I think it was when we talked about the figure that was shown at the show.
Yeah, like he yeah. just...
Yes, Matt, they're making a figure. They announced it 8 months ago.
Like, he's like an upgraded Gold Ranger.
He's really like, he's cool. Just, like, I like it.
Oh, I want the figure.
I know, me too. Like, you've watched something and you need the figure to represent it. Otherwise, you're not a person.
Like, honestly, if they make, like, one of the... 8-inch battleized.
Oh, I would totally buy that.
Of gold, I'll buy it instantly.
I would buy it.
One, I'm buying the red one because I want the big battleizer guy. But
yeah, I'm gonna buy the ultimate.
Whenever
red
that one. Comes out, but if they make a single one for gold, I'm totally getting that. It's a really cool design that I again hated at first. It's like, why is it blue? Fuck! And then I looked at it, I'm like, that's very visually appealing.
I know, it's really cool. I still, like we said, I kind of wish that he had a Robo version of the Sankonamaru, just because it would have been cool to buy.
Yeah.
Because they did such a good job with the Mega Blade.
Like, it's just like a giant, like, fish sword.
Be epic.
And the actual Sankonamaru toy is, like, so tiny.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be nice to have a Samurai Mega Blade-sized Sankonamaru.
Talking about names, I like the Barracuda Blade.
Yeah, I like that name.
And I don't really mind Octozord, other than it reminded me of Octomom.
Like, it's just weird because we have, like, it's Octoro or Octaroo, I don't know.
Yeah, that I thought about that, too.
I don't know if he's actually ever been named on screen or not.
But, like, Octo sounds so much cooler than Squid.
Yeah, Squid Zord just sounds weird.
Yeah, it's too close to Squidward.
Yeah.
So.
Well, then you have to wonder, like, are they using the Folding Zord for him or not? Because he keeps calling it Octazord. Or he just keeps calling it Octo.
Yeah, he's got to text him later. Something called Octoclaw Megazord. That sounds kind of cool, actually.
Octoclaw.
Still want more Beetleborgs references.
He's got eight claws.
Epic.
But overall, I really liked it. Haters gonna hate, but...
Yeah, like, I still don't, like, love it. And I'm one of the people that's, like, not super happy on Samurai, but...
Yeah.
I try to find certain things like about it to follow Kaio's philosophy. Yeah.
Like, you still have to give credit where credit's due in places.
Yeah. Like, and it's not the actor's fault with what they're given. Like, for all we know, next season they're gonna get good scripts and, like, they're gonna come out of their shells.
Like, I honestly hope, because, like, I still completely feel like they suck so hard because they're being told to suck so hard.
Yeah, like, and then, like, with such a rigid script.
Except in a G.
Oh, God, he talked. but, like, the characters are so, like, they have such a rigid line to follow, and then, like, we've said multiple times, they need to stop directly reading the TV Neon subs. Because the sentences they say sometimes don't make sense here. I mean, they make sense to us because we watch the Japanese subs.
Yeah, like, but, God, I forgot what that post said about whatever Mia said, like, unforgivable.
Yeah.
It was like, unforgivable. Like, no one ever really says that.
Yeah, you don't say that. Like, go on next
season.
They
say, like...
My turn. Your opponent is me.
Like, that was unforgivable or something. They just don't go say unforgivable.
Yeah.
Like, compared to Yurisenai or whatever, like, it's just a single word, so they did a single word.
Like, but, it would be even that much better if they could just at least, like, romanize the scripts.
Yeah.
And that would just be so much better. Like, if this was, like, a Time Force or Wild Force where they just kept it closely copied, sort of, but had different characters, the dialogue sounded fine, and they had something different about it, I'll be happy. I think Jaden's Secret's involved with Decker. No, I'm kidding. That's... Oh, also, I have to make this joke because I thought it was so funny when I thought of it. About, like, because there's, like, this... Samurai is, like, one of the most heated debate seasons in a while. Is there's people that, like, hate it and people that love it, and they both make each other really mad, and I think it's really funny.
It does, because I'm, like, right dead in the middle. Like,
yeah.
I don't hate it to death, but I don't love it either. So I'm just kind of sitting here in the middle and watching both sides just kind of, like, eat each other.
Like, okay... No, I agree. There are people that do get a little bit ridiculously mad. That, like, it's not, like, unjustified, but it's just a little too mad for the situation. And then there are people that are a bit too optimistic about Samurai that, like, refuse to see what's bad and refuse to take any criticisms. So, but a lot when I'm reading through HJU and Ranger Board, I've boiled it down to a scene in Anger Management. Is that, like, the person that, like, they... Watch every episode. Like, the people that love Samurai say that the people don't give it a chance despite the fact that even although they hate the show, they watch every episode and take the time to review it. Mm-hmm. And they'll give their critiques. They'll be like, oh, man, the acting wasn't so good. The Kiwi actors were bad. They really need to translate the script. And then you got the Samurai fanboy over here. Sir, you need to calm down. And then, okay, I am calm, I swear. Like, I was just saying that they really didn't do the best job they could. He's like, I'm going to need you to calm down. And he's like, I am calm. I'm just saying, like, calm down. I'm calm! Like, it's just like that scene in Anger Management in the airplane where they just get Adam Sandler so riled up. It's like, that's what happens. They start out as calm criticisms, and then the samurai, like, lovers get them so mad that it eventually just turns into a flaming war. Like, they don't refuse to take any criticisms about the show.
It's really funny.
And they're all valid points. But, yeah, I just had to make that joke because I did.
Yeah.
But I definitely hope it gets better. Like, season 2, man, they got new haircuts. Fuck yes. It's gonna get good.
Hopefully the haircuts give them better acting skills.
There was no Bulk and Skull.
She didn't get a haircut, so we're screwed.
Yeah, oh, fuck. That'd be funny. Like, I love that pose by Darkblaze. Gets a new look. I'd be funny if it was all five of them, and instead of Naji, it was just somebody else. Like, it was TJ or something.
TJ.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Or just a different race entirely.
Trying to think. Oh, that'd be funny if it was like, well, it's not because Crosswords part 1 and 2 were good, but it'd be funny if it was like Crosswords and it was like a total revamp the second season.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
They just replaced Naji with a white guy.
Naji's not black.
I'm like, what, it's Kevin.
Off white.
I'm like, what happened to Kevin?
It's Matthew Perry.
What happened to Kevin?
He fell asleep.
He hasn't been on the sun in a while. So he turned out like this.
Oh, I do have to mention, though, that it was pretty dumb of Mike to be like, seriously, who is that? Like, dude, you were just chasing him for like 15 minutes. Like, even Kevin knew who he was, and he sucks at acting. There was a pretty funny screen cap of when he said, "There's no Gold Ranger in the archive," and he's like pointing, and they screen capped it and put, "Shut up, foo." It looked really funny.
Oh,
so funny. So,
good times.
Honestly.
So next episode we get, I don't know. I don't think anything premieres the next episode. Oh, no, no. Ika Shinkano premieres next
episode. And then Vulcan Spike might be back.
Yeah,
that's my biggest hope, because their storyline's integrated. Oh, joking aside, that would have been a cool explanation if Antonio was leaving Demirinoi. They're in that universe. Just saying.
I'm going to a space colony.
That's a perfect segue into space. Because now it's time for retrospective Ranger Rambles.
Yay!
Yes, I'm so excited because I love space so much. Like, getting a quarter chub right now.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Rangers in space. That's so gimmicky, but it's so funny.
Rangers in space.
Well, it does. Like, I understand, like, when people say, God, it just got so gimmicky, and they kept making a different bunch of different iterations. Like, it does sound funny. Power Rangers in space. It sounds like a gimmick. Like, the last sequel, like, too many.
Like no, it totally sounds like a gimmick, but how is the argument that it got too gimmicky and they were just changing everything every season?
It's all a from the people that, like... It's like all from the people that don't know that it's based off Sentai, and then they change it every year.
Every
they just think that
MMPRF is different.
Well, yeah, but like they kept the same suits, and so they just see it as they're just milking it, and like keep making I don't understand it, but like their point of view is like they started with Zeo, and then they just kept making new shit to like milk it, but they don't understand that it works differently.
Can you imagine if we were on Samurai and still using Zeo suits?
Oh my god, I would just not be into it right now. And we were just keep constant explanations of, like, cast changes. This is Tommy's son! No. Like, seriously.
That'd be funny.
All right. So for this, I'm tasked with summarizing this.
Okay. Then some chick comes in, Little Tommy!
Little Tommy!
And then, like, Shinken Pink is Tommy's daughter. Daddy! That sounded like Miley Cyrus from Hannah Montana, when she's like, Daddy!
Oh, God.
Okay. So I'm just gonna say that this, I don't know if it's gonna be longer or not, but there's a lot of plot to cover in almost in Samurai in space, because like there wasn't a whole lot of filler and a whole lot of episodes that didn't matter. A
lot of plot in Samurai, lol.
Okay. So remember what happened last time in Turbo? Let me talk about it for you. So we started with the movie, and then Tommy said this line, and then Jason said this line, and then they wore these shoes. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So basically picks up right after Turbo left off, and you got the four Turbo Rangers like celebrating that Justin's gone, and they're just traveling in space. And meanwhile, you see the Evil Alliance meeting, just all the people we've seen from MMPR through Turbo, just chillaxing. Diva talks bragging, Rita's pissed, tries to kill her, Astronomer blocks it with her hand because she's a badass. And then you see a Jedi wandering around, spying on the place. It turns out to be Andros. He's the Red Space Ranger. They catch him. Honestly, he shouldn't have been morphed under that cloak. Those red boots or red legs underneath the Jedi robe gave him away completely. But then they caught him.
Wait, what? Call him Andros.
That's what he calls.
Like a certain other person in this podcast.
That's all he can do now. Anyway, so then the obvious joke about Dark Spectre being Malagor. And then he's like, oh, Astronomer, you're my biggest pet project. You need to send stuff after Andros. And then so he sends Quadra Fighters after him. And then the Rangers are like, man, I wonder how long it's going to take to get to Eltar. I really need a shower. And then the ship starts pulling him in. And they're like, oh, well, might as well check it out. It's not like we're going to get, like, kidnapped by Buffalo Bill from Joe Dirt. So they end up on the ship. They explore it a little bit. So you're like, man, this place is awesome. They find Andros's, like, purple eggs that he was eating. And then Andros shows up at the ship after evading the Quadra Fighters, and he finds them there. He's like, oh, fuck! Space hobos! And he starts beating them up. He doesn't believe them about who they are. He says they're Power Rangers, and then Astronomer catches up, starts shooting them, and the engine gets knocked out, and then he sees TJ fixing the engine, and he's like, man, I guess they were telling the truth. They crash land on some planet that they'll reuse for many stock footages to come. Then they go out to fight the Quantrons, and TJ's like, this is an alien planet. Is there air? You don't know. So then they all go fight the Quantrons, and then Andros helps them fix Alpha's personality so he's not a douchebag. And he's like, look, I don't need you guys. I'm a loner. I'm a badass. Just please get off my ship. Just go home. This is ridiculous. He sends them off. They're like, all right, I guess it's time to go home. Quantrons show up, pwn their faces. And then Alpha sticks behind like, dude, this is Power Rangers, five people team. This isn't Kamen Rider. What are you doing? And he's like, all right, I'll turn around. So he turns around, gives the four of the Morphers, and the Space Rangers are born. They apparently already know the names of their weapons. I don't know how.
Magic.
So they're all super duper best friends now on their team, and they're traveling, and they got super tight space outfits. I mean, tight as in cool, and they're actually really tight.
Especially Ashley's.
Yeah, especially Ashley's. So, and then now we have obligatory mention of the Ninja Turtles team up, and we find out about Andros' sister, that she was kidnapped, and that he's been trying to find her, and then they only spent one major episode focusing on Andros needing to learn to work as a team, which was that episode, because he was pretty good after that. And then we get some awesome filler, because all the filler in space is awesome. And then we pick up the story again with the Phantom Ranger, sending a message to the Space Rangers to come meet him, because he's got the key cards for the Delta Megazord. They get the Delta Megazord. Phantom Ranger's like, I'll be back, Cassie, don't worry about me. But unfortunately, my storyline gets cut by the writers, so you'll never find out who I am. Then we get some more awesome filler, which includes Carlos getting turned into a bug, and Ashley gets left alone on the ship to defend herself. TJ losing his memory, and then it picks up again. Apparently Andros forgot to watch the footage that he's been carrying around for 30 years because he found out that Darkonda stole Corone from the footage. I don't know how he missed that, but he finds that out. And so he goes to this awesome like saloon planet where like all the villains hang out and plays like their version of poker, which is with like shape cards for preschoolers. And he wins key cards, and Darkonda's like, hey, if you give me those key cards, I'll tell you about KO-35. And he's like, sure. He's like, it has trees and lakes, lols.
So you're going to play about KO-35. He gives you lots of links and is in love with a bunch of yellows.
That's exactly the 16-year-old ones. And so anyway, Andros makes the huge mistake of having his giant morpher bulging out of his costume again. So Darkonda finds him out, steals the key cards back, and escapes. So the key cards lead to the Mega Voyager. He tries to make a deal about, you know, I'll trade you information for the Mega Voyager, but no, it doesn't happen. So they get the Mega Voyager and they're all cool guy face. So then after that, there's some kind of ship attack and a secret room opens in the engine room that apparently has Zane on life support, which I'm pretty sure he was fine the whole time and he just froze him unnecessarily. But they're like, man, this is Zane, the Silver Ranger. He's been my best friend. He's been here for 2 years. And then they crash land on the planet with the Jawas that they were just on, and the Jawas attack them. They can't beat them, and then apparently a malfunction in the ship causes Zane to thaw out, and Zane awakens, and he's super awesome, and he looks like a porn star. And then he joins the team, and Zane Andros is like, fuck, you're hitting on my woman, man.
Justin Bieber.
And he's secretly, oh god, he is! He's Justin Bieber all grown up. Anyway, and then a couple battles in, Zane finds out that his powers don't work so much anymore, and Alpha informs him that he needs 1.21 gigawatts in order to recharge himself, so he recharges himself, and then he's all happy for one episode, and then it's time to go to the KO-35 colony. They're on a desert planet, and they meet up with the KO-35 colony run by Hitler and Alfred, the butler from General Hospital, who serves Nicholas, and they find out that Hitler is actually Darkonda. Makes sense. And he tries to fool them into killing the Rangers. And
Hitler was awesome.
And he's reenacting District 9 and turning everyone into prawns. And anyway, everything ends up happy in the end. Darkonda loses a life. Zane decides to stay behind in the space colony because they decided not to use Mega Silver footage at that point. Okay, so then after that, we get a little bit of filler. One of the major ones being Carlos is bitch, Adam is awesome. And Carlos accidentally strikes down Cassie, and he's really insecure about being a ranger. He bitches out, and then Adam comes in, and apparently he can't wear any other colors but brown. And he comes in, morphs into the MMPR Black Ranger, and gives Carlos his mojo back. And then we get to a set of episodes, five episodes actually, about Astronema being Corone. As Andros knocks her necklace off in battle, opens it up, they have the same necklaces. She doesn't believe him at first, is really iffy. She tries to kill him, then gives him his morpher. Everything's happy. And they go, she's like, all right, I'll take you to Zordon. And they're like, all right, so TJ wants to restrain her and do things with her in the back to prove her loyalty. And she's restrained. They have a bonding moment. And then There's this really confusing moment on the planet where it's like back and forth whether or not she's betraying Andross. She called him Andross. And Zordon unveils that he's totally the dick he was because he says, Andross, I cannot believe you're such a fool. I'm like, Zordon would totally say that. But so it's actually Darkonda. It appears the Rangers have been fooled, but Astronomer like double crossed them. And then she's all happy and she's totally reformed and she took her wig off and now she's Crone and she's got a purple outfit, leading to lots of people thinking she was going to be a purple ranger for whatever reason. And then a meteor heads for Earth that Professor Phenomenus finds, I guess a munchin Vulcan skull later. And so in order to stop it, she's going to go to the Dark Fortress to try to stop it. But then Dark Spectre plans...
Did you get to the part where Zane sexes her up yet?
No, I skipped that because it was filler. I'll talk about it later. Anyway. he's just like randomly awakens for random phrases.
Well, my throat hurts.
Anyway. That's what she said. Okay. Now I lost. Oh, yeah. So Dark Spectre implants a personality intersect into Astronema and Ecliptor and makes them all evil again. And so Andros is like, oh, no. I'll be all sad now and then act like nothing happened next episode. So then, in Astronema's new evil reign, she creates the Psycho Rangers. They're super powerful. They can touch their heads, absorb the information. They're like, let me rub your head for luck. Absorb the information. The Psychos are... exactly. The Psychos are super strong. They pretty much pwn the shit out of the Rangers until they separate them. The Psychos. They come up with a bunch of different plans and eventually basically take them down one by one until it's down to, I think, yellow, red, and black. And then they take them all down. Let's see. Psycho Rangers... okay, so then they do come back at some point where, like, Astronema revives them with Data, or they revive themselves with Data, and then they're put onto Data cards, which will be important next season. And then Ecliptor, like, flips a shit, goes onto the ship, and, like, absorbs its powers, becomes red, and destroys the Delta Megazord, and damages the Mega Voyagers. And then in the next episode, a mysterious car kidnaps all the Rangers. And TJ can outrun it, though. He was actually doing fine, and then Ashley picked him up on her slow-as-fuck galaxy glider. And they all got kidnapped. They got in a battle with the car monster, and then it destroyed the Mega Voyager. So all they have left is the Astro Mega Ship. And so with them depleted, it's time to... the Millennium Message to come to passage in 1998. And so the countdown to destruction happens, and everyone's attacking everywhere. You see the Machine Empire, Zed and Rita, and Divatox attacking everywhere. And we see returns of people like the Alien Ranger and Gold Ranger and Phantom Ranger on their respective planets fighting. They launched an attack on Earth with Quadra Fighters. The Rangers fly there to fight them, and they all get pwned. They de-untransform. Zane tries to like punch out all of the Quadra Fighters with his Mega Wigger. And then like Darkonda like tries to betray Dark Spectre and blow them up, but they ended up blowing each other up, and just a lot of blowing, because I saw the finale of last week's Chuck and they blew up. I don't know, there was a joke there and it died. So Astronema takes over
Dustin Bieber.
After everyone's all defeated, just leaves an ultimatum to Earth saying, turn over the Power Rangers or die. The next morning the Rangers are like, oh fuck, what do we do? And then Vulcan Skull like start a revolution of everyone like, I'm a Ranger, and they're all like the most physically unfit people to ever
see. I am Spartacus.
Exactly. And then they're like, no, we are the Power Rangers.
Yeah, one Blast Chick's like, I am the nurse from Scrubs. Oh.
And then they could have technically morphed and shown up and said, we are the Power Rangers, but it was more epic to see their identities. And everyone's like, who the fuck's that Zane guy? And then so they all epically charge into battle, and I forgot the fact that Andros left to go save his sister. And anyway, so he's on the ship. Zordon's like, Andros, there's something you must do. And then Crone's like, LOL, no, I'm evil. And they start fighting, and she tries to kill Andros, and he deflects it and kills her, I think, or they just thought she was dead. Ecliptor flips a shit. Andros finally puts an end to... Did I say Zordon? Anyway, Andros puts an end to Zordon, creating the giant wave of good. It purifies some people, disintegrates others. Divatox becomes Demetria. Zed and Rita become their suit actors. everyone else is pretty much disintegrated. Like, everyone de-untransforms. And they're like, yay, we won, even though we really didn't do anything, and everyone celebrates. And then Andros lands crying with his sister's body, and it becomes Pokemon the first movie, and he revives her with his tears. I prefer to think of it as a delayed reaction to that wave thing. And so everything's all happy. All evil is destroyed. They drop off a bunch of boxes on KO-35. Everyone's gone. It's a sad, parting between Ashley and Andros, and then Andros is like, you know what, I never got to tap that asshole season, I'm going with you guys. And so it ends with all six Rangers and Caron flying off back to Earth. And that was the best season of Power Rangers ever, ladies and gentlemen.
How was that?
Is it good?
Sure.
All right.
It was better than that sex the other day.
Oh, God. I kind of wish he was asleep now. Sorry if that was kind of long, but there was a lot to cover.
And That's what she said.
And I forgot things. Like, Zane had a brief thing with Astronema, and he got his Mega Wigger from the Rebels. All right. So, I've just talked forever. I feel like Kevin.
And the Battleizer.
Oh, yeah, the Battleizer. But that had to do with Sylvie, and I really didn't want to talk about her. It was not important. See, I'm trying to condense it. I'm not going to mention every little detail.
The Battleizer is kind of important, bro.
Really? It's just a overly glorified perm. Anyway. So, should we talk about the story first?
Yep.
All right, Brian, you can lead it off since I just talked.
Okay. Lots of it. There was
lots of it.
Lots of story.
Like seriously, like, that's why this summary is so long.
Thank you for leading it off, Dawson.
Every complaint about lack of story in, like, MMPR through Turbo, whenever we complained about it, they were saving it for this.
Honestly, they were, like, this was the reward for everyone watching the past 5 years.
Like, even the filler, like, usually had something to do with the story.
Like, seriously, there was only two, like, large gaps in filler, which were 5 episodes, and they either had something to do with the story, or they were, like, a really good plot. Like, it wasn't, like, the typical monster comes down and, like, just blows shit up. It was, like, Carlos gets turned into a bug. Mm. Or, like, it's not, like, a little bug, like, a monster. Or, like, there's a monster that has a heart. Or, like, some kind of, like a slave thing. Like, it was a really good show.
Yeah.
But most of the episodes, like 95% of it, all had to do with the story. Except for the Ninja Turtle one. That one was whatever. I don't know what that was about. It was like the fourth
episode.
That was
epic. They could get galaxy gliders in space somehow.
That was the fourth episode. Like, what the fuck?
That was really weird.
Yeah, like, that should have been like an outside special. Like, that really didn't make any sense. But the story was just so great.
It really, like, really was. Like,
they gained such momentum from the finale of Turbo. And, like, oh, it's so good. I just want to say, Power Rangers in Space is the best Power Rangers ever. That's all. Next, characters. No, I'm kidding.
Like, I mean, I agree with you. Like, Space is probably one of the most popular seasons, mm-hmm. but it's one of the rightfully so popular
yeah, honestly.
Seasons. Like, it's not like a Time Force thing where
it's kind of copied Sentai.
It's incredibly popular, but, like, it's not. I don't think Time Force is deserving of the best ever.
Yeah, like, I think Time Force is more overrated.
Space,
like,
Space took Mega Ranger, which is like nothing like Space at all.
On it, there's hardly.
Yeah, it's not.
I watched practically the whole thing for this segment, and there is like very sparse Mega Ranger footage for a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Like, I think the most like chunk of Mega Ranger footage was the Psycho Rangers.
Yeah, the psychos. Well, I think a part of it helped that they changed the grunts again.
Yeah.
To Quantrons as opposed to those purple things.
Yeah, the Quantrons were cool.
Ugly. If I had to look at those bastards the entire season, I'd probably.
They did devote like an episode to like sort of not explain them. They were like bots for the simulator
animation.
Thing. Yeah, they were like the simulated enemies when they had that Simutron deck or whatever.
Well, I guess the gag there being that the Mega Rangers came out of a video game, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because they thought it was supposed to be Space Theme and, like, LOL's video game, and they're like, oh, fuck it. But I still get it, like, I guess it's because I grew up on it, but I get a space vibe from the suits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their whole, like, giant black thing on their head reminds me of an astronaut helmet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's for the suits, though. Shh. Skip ahead. Don't listen to that part. Spoilers.
Like, I mean, there's things I want to say, but again, at the same time, I don't know what to say.
Like, it's not like there's so much to discuss. Like, there's the whole overall story with Zordon, and then there's Andros' story.
Like, I mean, Andros' story eventually kind of becomes a cliche.
It does, but it was the first time
they did it.
Yeah.
So it just seems so epic. Different. And then to have, like, this compared to, like, Dylan and Tenaya. Like, this situation, she was the main bad guy.
Yeah, like it was kind of different in RPM. Like it was, they had like underlying themes of like slave labor, which you have to think about. But still,
it's awesome to enjoy slave labor.
Oh my god! But it, like, it was the first of its kind in PR, and it was really well done. Mm-hmm. Like I, when I was watching, I was like, the Astronema turning good almost felt rushed. But I'm like, they devoted 5 episodes to her story.
Yeah,
like there was the first 3 where it. It wasn't really rushed because, like, it's PR and they had a certain amount of time. Like, at the beginning, she was, like, she didn't believe him. And then she was, like, really iffy and questiony. And then she turned good and then she went crazy because they needed a villain.
Yeah.
But it was really well done. And it gave us a reason to, like, care about Andros. And I thought, yeah. And the whole overall story was also great with, like, Zordon and the Evil Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
It gave like the whole like past 5 years of PR and just everything we've been introduced to like so much of a grander scale, and it made like all the Earth teams seem so insignificant, like that there was all this shit going on all these different planets.
Yeah, like it was just like everything used to be so confined to, like one city on Earth, and now it's everywhere.
Seriously, that was one of the things I loved about it, is it felt like such a space epic because they were constantly going to different planets.
And that's how Andros saved 2 worlds.
That's Peter Bishop from Fringe. No one gets it but me.
That's Digimon.
Damn it, let's get back to the main topic. Digimon's for 18 weeks from now. But it was just so good. Like, they took the mess that was MMPR through Turbo and turned it into something. Mm-hmm. And it was just really good the way it was handled. Like, the search for Zordon and just was so good.
And
mm-hmm.
so epic.
Like, we have to talk about the finale.
Oh, the finale? It might even be my favorite finale. It was so epic.
It was the finale. And
it really was. Like, if Power Rangers would have ended there, it would have been perfect. Like, I didn't want it to, but I mean, it would be a great ending.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the Bulk and Skull moment. Or like, them? They're the Power Rangers? The guys we said for, like, every episode forever, they could never, ever be the Power Rangers because they're dorks. They're them. Damn it.
Well, like, that moment would have been a lot more epic if they would have found out it was, like, the originals because they'd been longer.
Yeah.
Like,
because,
like, in theory, they don't even know that the originals were Rangers.
Yeah, so that's kind of disappointing in that aspect. And, like, that made me think, like, when I was watching the season, sometimes I would think it would be really epic if this was like, obviously it wouldn't be the original 5 because they kind of mix and match, but if this would have been like the first Turbos with Rocky, it would have been kind of more emotional because they had been through all this before.
Like,
but like, I overall like the Space Cast better.
Like, I love the Space Cast.
Yeah, like, I don't think they should have done the originals, but I just couldn't help but think how it would have been.
No, I think it would have been epic in like that part of Countdown to Destruction if like the other... If they could bring back the other cast members
mm-hmm.
for that part, like not more because
been.
Of the way the story works.
Yeah.
But just have them with them and then they're like, we're the Power Rangers and like they're there too.
Yeah, that would have been cool. I didn't even ever think about that. That's a good idea.
Like,
Adam was there.
Give him a laser pistol or something and call it a day.
Honestly.
That's what Carter does the entire time. He just carries around a little pistol and kills things.
Seriously. Because he doesn't know martial arts. But like,
that would have
exactly
been really, really fun.
That would have been, especially since they had Adam already, or at least even just Adam. Yeah. Like, it seems like all the Avengers are like, this ain't my job anymore. That is not my job.
I'm into retirement. We have a retirement plan with Zordon. We have a 401k.
Zordon died. Fuck! But the finale was so great. Like, the opening, like, scenes with, like, Earth being, like, destroyed and, like, the epic battle was just fantastic.
Like, it was mm-hmm. supposed to be 3 parts.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even better.
They didn't have the budget, so it was only 2 parts.
They had to cut shit out.
Like they wanted the Phantom Rangers' identity to be revealed in this.
Yeah, that was a 2-part episode, too, that they were planning.
Like,
or part of that.
Like, he was going to have his episodes, and then it got pushed to being revealed in Countdown to Destruction, and then it just got deleted completely.
Yeah, that's kind of unfortunate. Especially since they kind of, like alluded to it in that last episode he was in. But it was just such a good finale. And, like, the scene with, like, when... Was she dead? Was Carone dead? Or was she just passed out and they thought she was dead?
I think she was just passed out and they thought she was dead.
Yeah, because, like... But that whole scene was, like, really... I hate to say, like, emotional, but it was, like, really emotional and, like, dramatic for PR.
Oh,
like,
the, it was. Like,
they had, like, a really good, like opera-ish song, yeah. Like, I mean, a background. It was, like, really dramatic. I'm like, God, this show is so awesome. Like, I want to make sense of this show.
I
want
to watch it.
I know, you
like,
should.
Like, I'm really
honestly
pissed that this had to happen during, like, my busiest week of college, and I couldn't watch any of it, but
I have to rewatch it. Like, it holds up. Oh, it's fantastic. Like, I just love it. I want to watch it now. I want to watch the, like, few episodes that I skipped. I don't want to watch Lost Galaxy now. I want to watch more space. Like, oh, it was just so good. And let's see, if there's anything else story to cover. Well, there's so much story. That's the problem. Like, there's so much,
like,
to cover.
It was the big build-up to the end of an era.
Yeah, it really it was fantastic.
And that's what made it so good.
Yeah, it really, like, it expanded the universe so much. Like, I kept saying that, but it really did. Like, it made everything seem so much more epic, and, like, it kind of alluded to Power Rangers being known all throughout the galaxy, and, like, because they're like, oh, I never heard of Power Rangers on Earth, and Zayna never heard of female Power Rangers, because apparently KO-35 is, like, ancient. But it just expanded that idea so much.
It gives Gokai potential.
It really does. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like,
being on other planets.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Of course, when you get to things with, like, Battle Japan and stuff, you're going to wonder what the hell's going on there. But
that's from, like, a really freaky alien planet where their faces are so freaked out that they can't fit them into a normal-looking helmet. That's my explanation. Like, the one that looks like a sphinx, his head's square.
Battle Kasak. Battle Kasak. And this one looks like Kasak.
Battle Cognac?
Battle
Cognac. Sounds like a terrible, like, Reploid from Mega Man X. Battle Cognac. So anyway, I think we should probably wrap up the
story. Yeah, but one of the best... It's like the definitive PR for me. Best story,
it was.
I think.
Like, everyone's on such an RPM high, but seriously, space is,
like,
where it's at.
I was talking about this yesterday with you, like, to talk about footage, because I don't know where to put that. Like, space was the best original, like, use of like, the suits. Like, because there was footage, but, they had a shit ton of original footage. Mm-hmm. RPM was probably the best use of footage in making their own story, chopping up the Japanese footage. This one used a lot of original footage, which was needed. And I have to say, also, like, there's no place in, like, the discussion topics for this. The effects, there were some that looked really bad. But even the ones that, like, looked kind of fake were actually pretty decent effects. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to, when you watch it, you'll see, like, there's some pretty believable effects in it. I thought they did a good job with it. Anyway, so characters?
Yes.
Okay, who should we start with?
Okay,
Andross?
So let's start with Andross, because he's the new guy.
Andross is the shit. He pours that hot sauce into Balkan Skull's stuff.
He has telekinesis they forget about 6 episodes in.
Well, they used it quite a bit. God, you should have rewatched it, like me. Anyway, so I thought Andross was a really good character.
Yeah, like, Andross was weird, because, or Andross, I kept saying, I pulled a Kevin, I said Andross. Andross, like, it's because I think he was so foreign. Like
his alienness, or like the actor?
Well, his alienness.
Both.
Okay, yeah. But that was kind of supposed to be there.
Like, yeah, I know, but I mean, that's what made him an interesting character.
Yeah.
You being a smart Alec? My name's not Alec, it's Andross.
Lol.
He was so stupid.
Like, there was really, like, the handshake, like, he freaked out.
It's your hand. Oh.
Or what did he say? Oh, like, when he's poking the surfboard and that black chick's like, what planet are you from? KO-35! You heard of it?
Your name's not Adele, it's Nurse Roberts.
But, like, he was a really good character. Like, he had such, like we said, he has a good story with his sister, and, like, a good background. And the actor did a really good job with the character, like, making him seem really alien-like. Like, he was human, but very alien-like at the same time.
He did a good job being aloof from the rest of the Rangers. Oh, wait, he wasn't acting.
Trying to be serious here. This is hard-hitting reporting. Anyway,
I don't even know what he said.
I don't know. He said something about a loofah.
So he did a good job of being aloof. Oh, it means separate and apart.
I know.
The rest of the Rangers. I'm like, oh, wait, he wasn't acting.
Like, Okay.
I used a grown up word and it confused them.
There was really only one episode where they had it where he had a hard time working with them, which was the third episode. And then Carlos was like, "Oh, we need to be a team, man. Come on." And then like they were fine.
Team, man.
They were fine after that. Like there was a few like instances, but other than that, like they didn't spend too much time on it, which I guess is kind of good because that storyline gets old, like with the loner character, and it's going to be redone. And see what else to talk about with him.
It was like, Zane, everything with Caron and Andros.
Yeah, it was really good, and I don't say he really changed by the end, other than
he didn't go through a lot of character change. He just kind of warmed up.
Yeah. He kind of found more friends other than Zane. Like, it seemed like him losing his sister and then losing Zane, he just kind of cut himself off, and then he just kind of became...
It's a bad day.
Yeah. But, he grew in the sense that, like you said, he warmed up, and he was just more open at the end.
Yeah, because I'm not going to say he went through, like, character growth or character change, but... Because he stayed fairly constant throughout the entire season, but, like, he just stopped being such a prick and...
Yeah.
Warmed up to everyone.
But the actor did a pretty decent job.
Well, he did. Like, he's not that, like... He didn't really do much after that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for what it was worth, he did a pretty really good job with the character.
Yeah. So, next, TJ.
TJ!
TJ is my homeboy. TJ is the shit.
And he's black.
I tell you. Jar Jar Binks is gonna be the shit. Anyway. Like we said last season, I really like TJ. Like, he's just so cool.
I love TJ. He's one of my favorite Rangers.
He is. He's one of my favorite Rangers. He just repeated you. Damn it. You know what, Brian? Just talk for me.
Okay.
But he was just so cool. I just liked him so much. Like, he just... He had such a good... Like, last season, he had such a good leader quality, and, like, he kind of fell in this really good second-in-command role in this season.
Even though it says like, Carlos was second-in-command on Wiki.
Yeah, the fun part being in Mega Ranger Black was the second.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, is that, like, in the footage, you can tell that Mega Black was the second-in-command, but, like, in all of the, like, original parts, like, TJ was. Because we'll get to that with Carlos, but Carlos really didn't do anything. But, like, TJ was...
I just thought of it, why didn't they make TJ the black one, but then I thought they didn't want to get their hands in that mess
that's
again.
That's probably why. But, like, in the footage, like, Black always takes the lead, but, like, in the like, Demorph footage or sometimes in the original footage, TJ was always, like, the clear second, like, just at least in presence. Like, he was always the one to take charge. Carlos honestly didn't do anything. But I'm trying to think. TJ, like, he had some really good moments in this season, like, with the plan with, like, the Blues and stuff. And...
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just kind of continued a leadership role, even though Andros was the leader.
Yeah.
Like, he still kind of kept out kind of a leadership position because he was the leader before.
Yeah, and he, like, kind of led the group before and stuff. And, like, he didn't go... Like, a lot of them really didn't go through any character change. Mm-hmm. Other than that, he just, like, kind of got serious and, like, the situation was very serious and, you know, he just seemed more professional. That's the best way I can put it. And he was just a really good Ranger overall. He's a really good Blue. He's one of my favorite Rangers. And he just had lots of good moments. And he got baked into a giant pizza, so he had a lot of experience. And he was just really cool. And he can outrun everything ever. Seriously.
I mean, he's so cool. He's the one that replaced Tommy.
It's true. That was his claim to fame, besides being baked into a giant pizza.
And the first African-American Red Ranger.
He's the one that replaced him. Now what about the one that replaced you?
You know what's funny is some guy made a big deal about him being the first Black Red Ranger, and he said, "Can you hook me up with being Go Say Red?" Like, he said it all like really gangster. It was really funny. Because like someone was like, "Oh, what the fuck's a Go Say Red?" Anyway, but I love TJ. He's awesome. One of my favorite characters from space. That sounds funny. From space. Carlos.
Carlos, can we skip him?
Carlos is my favorite of the bunch. Like, he... Honestly, he had, like... Basically, everyone had the same amount of focus episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if exactly, but it seemed like that. He had the episode with Adam, which was sort of out of left field for me. that would have been more of an episode, an episode to have in Turbo.
Yeah.
Because he had been a Ranger for like a year and a half when he's starting to have these doubts because of something that was honestly a mistake.
Yeah.
Like, and he just came off as being really
Cassie,
whiny.
Who the hell cares? It's a mistake. God.
I know.
I still enjoyed Adam being back, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought it should have happened.
And the broken morpher.
But Carlos, he just came off as being really whiny in that episode.
Well, he is Mexican.
And...
Damn it, Dawson.
Oh my God. And then he had those whole episodes with Sylvie, which really annoyed me.
Oh, Sylvie.
That plot annoyed me, like... But other than those few episodes, Carlos was really just a background character for a lot of the series.
He was Adam Part 2.
Yeah, he reminded me of Adam from, like, season 2 and stuff. He was just there in the background.
Like, Andros got a lot of the focus. Like, TJ got, like, the secondary male focus.
Uh-huh.
And then the girls kind of flip-flop back and forth between having focus. And then Zane obviously got the Six Ranger focus. But here's Carlos
flip-flop between Cassie. I love Phantom Ranger. And Ashley, I love Andros. And I'm getting sexed on by Zane. Like...
But Carlos really just was
kind of there. I'm popular because I have boobs. Oh.
And he didn't have any character growth. Like, at all. No one really did, like I said. But he was just like bug. He did. Like, it was disgusting. The bites looked like a giant zit.
They really did.
Like, that episode was so funny. Like, all right, these bugs are on the ship alone with us and they could kill us. All right, Ashley, we're going down to Earth where it's safe. You stay here and guard. She's like, what? And, like, they got there just in time before they, like, totally pwned her. Like, that's so funny. It's just like that scene in Samurai.
He's standing here on guard. What? Shoot down those tubes.
Oh, God. Mm. But, yeah, Carlos was just there.
Speaking of, the megaship was, like, the place to be.
The megaship was the shit.
Had machines that cooked food for you, and you get to slide down those tubes.
I want to live there. And you could, like created a mirage of any place you want to be ever.
And you get cool space guy suits. I want space guy suits.
I want those hoodies they had. Those are cool. Alright, so, let's see. Ashley?
I honestly don't know what to say about her, really.
Oh, show.
She was hot.
Like, I didn't watch it, so I don't know kind of what changes she went through.
Like, the only change that I would say that she went through was, like, in Turbo, she was kind of the generic, like, cheerleader mold. Like,
now she has tied her clothes.
Damn it, Kevin! You said that already. Okay, I'm trying to say something. I watched it.
Fuck you.
Okay.
I watched it in my mind.
Okay, but so, like, is it this season, like, they didn't, really none of them did activities, because they were busy, you know, saving the world. But, like, she was a lot more tolerable in this season. Like, she had the whole thing going on with Andros, which was obvious. And... she was just a lot better this season. Like, in Turbo, she was just kind of this standard,
I didn't like her in Turbo, besides the fact that she was hot.
Yeah, like, she was the standard, like, cookie-cutter mold-out in Turbo, but she kind
tried
of...
to learn to telekinese.
Telekinese? She tried to telekinese. I don't know. Niche?
Niche.
Raises teacup. Anyway, but, like, I liked her in this season, not only just because she was hot, but, like, she had this sort of story with Andros, and she just, like, there wasn't a whole lot of character development, but it felt like she grew from just being, like, Ashley in the first season. Like, she seemed more like a Ranger. Like, kind of like I said with TJ's, they just kind of grew into being the more serious situation, and she was just more of a good character. She did a good job in that episode where she switched with Astronema.
Yeah,
the acting was? Yeah. That was a really good episode. And, okay, so there's not a whole lot to talk about her. What about Cassie?
Again.
She's Asian.
Same thing.
She was Asian hot.
She complained that Ashley didn't clean up after herself in that one episode. That was monumental. One thing I have to say about Cassie is that, like, because I have to wait till we get to all the other seasons to say, because I have to, like, rewatch stuff. But out of the previous Pinks we got, she was definitely the strongest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the other Pinks were like, Tommy, help me. Oh, fuck,
well,
it's a puppy.
She was Asian.
And, like, Cassie was really more like a strong female. It sounds really weird to say. But she could take care of herself, and she wasn't so weak. And she just was a lot better of a character.
And, like, I like her.
Like, Cassie was one of my favorite Pinks, really.
Yeah, she really is.
I don't really know why. I just, it might be a slight bias. It's kind of like why, like, Adam so much because it's slight bias because I like the actress, but
yeah,
like she wasn't like a whiny pink. She
yeah, like really a lot of the pinks. And
she was kind of like Jen in the fact that she was like really independent and strong pink.
Not constantly getting into trouble, going, save me, like, I suck at life.
A lot of the pinks later were just so whiny, and she was just a nice change.
Yeah.
And like I said with everyone else, is that she really didn't go through much change other than just being a stronger, like, character. Like, in the first episode of Turbo, she was a bit whiny.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, do we have to save him? TJ, why did he run so fast? And she grew from that, definitely.
And he's like, because I'm black and have a third leg. Oh, wait.
He's a tripod. Okay, now let's talk about Let's Rack It. Zane.
Let's Rack It. Mega Wanger.
Zane. Oh, God.
That's
Mega
racket
Wanger.
Ball.
That's even better than Wanger. I love that. Okay, so Zane is probably one of my least favorite sixths.
I think he is my least favorite sixth, besides maybe Tizon.
Oh, God. Yeah, Tizon's my least favorite, definitely.
I liked him at the time.
Like, I liked Tizon? Him at the time. No, Zane.
No, not Tizon.
Like, I liked him
Are
at the time.
Are you stupid?
Because he was the sixth.
Yeah.
But, like, looking back at it, it was bad.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't watch any Space recently, but I remember watching it every time it came on, like, Generations, going, really? They like this guy? Can I change my vote?
Like, his suit was semi-cool if it would have been a little more silver instead of a white suit with a silver helmet.
Yeah, it but did that's look really, really, thing. Really, really white.
But Zane?
I liked his on-ship outfit, the black, that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool. But
Zane really, there's not a whole lot to talk about with him because he really wasn't there a lot.
Then he had to sex up Corone, that was even better.
Oh. Like, he showed up, and he, like, lost his powers, and then he sexed up Corone, and then he left to go be with the colony, and then he came back to help with the psychos, and came back to bring his Mega Wanger. And then he came back for the finale, but he was there on and off, and he really wasn't there all that often. And all that we got established is just kind of this easygoing, like, porn star.
He was kind of like Ryan in the fact that he, like, wasn't there half the time.
Yeah, but Ryan actually had an excuse.
Yeah, Ryan had an excuse because they couldn't afford his footage.
He played the role that the Sixth kind of originally did, from what I understand, in Sentai, where, like, they weren't like the Sixth how we understand, like, Shinken Gold or Ghost Say Night, where they're like all the time, every episode, up like as best friends of the main five. They were more like
supporting
an extra character who would come when needed, but they really kind of weren't there always.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They were
sense.
Just kind of off doing their own thing and like, oh, they need my help? Okay, here I come. Let's go. I'm going to ride into battle. My epic Galaxy Glider motorcycle.
That's really. Yeah, that's pretty much what he did, because he really wasn't
I don't know
there.
Why he's got to be a motorcycle, too. Like, really?
Because he's silver. And he gets something special. I love when the episode, when they picked Bulk and Skull up from the desert, and Bulk, like rode on Zane's Galaxy Glider like a horse. It's fantastic. But Zane, like, he's really just kind of meh. He was just kind of there. Like, he had a cool, like introduction idea of him being, like, in a coma. I just felt it was really rushed. Like, we're introduced to the idea of him and him waking up all in one episode. I think that, like, maybe a little bit before that, we should have been introduced to the fact that he was there on the ship, like, frozen. And then he could have, like, awakened later, and that would have had more impact. Mm-hmm. Instead of just showing up. And the 1.21 gigawatts is cool, though. But he was there. He did stuff, and he looked like a porn star, and his hair didn't move.
That ticking clock in that episode, and then he demorphed and almost died, and that was fun.
That was fun. We were like, we pretended we were going to murder you. That was great. Okay, so, should we talk about Alpha quickly, since he's, like, on the hero side?
Yeah.
Alpha was
so much better in this season.
I know. Alpha, honestly, this Alpha is my favorite Alpha. Like, Alpha 5 was a nitwit. Original Alpha 6 was a douchebag.
And then he got a new voice and was like, okay, I'm cool guy face, hooray.
Like, this Alpha actually helped. Like, he actually could help with, like, technical stuff. He wasn't like, ay, 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 Billy.
Like, didn't he, like, pilot the Megazord at one point?
Yeah, when they went to go get the Mega Voyager.
Yeah.
I'm playing
with like, I got this.
Like, Alpha was just so great in this season. Like, he not only helped, like, with technical stuff, but he, like, actually, like, helped solve, like, problems that the Rangers were having. And, like, he almost, like, pwned Ecliptor out of the ship when he took over it.
Yeah.
Like, this Alpha was fantastic. And this is the way, like, Alpha should be, is just this great, like, supporting character. And, like, as classic as Alpha 5 was, he was just a dirt face.
Like, and... I mean, Alpha 5 will always win the Nostalgia Award, but Alpha 6 was so competent. Like, he
yeah.
knew what he was doing. He could pilot the ship. He apparently could operate the fucking Megazord.
I know, it was so cool. I felt so bad when, like, Ecliptor chucked him across the room. I'm like, Alpha! You're so cool. But yeah, he was great. And Deca is totally GLaDOS's, like, good sister.
It is.
Deca kind of took on her own personality as well.
Yeah,
like, there's not a whole lot to talk about other than her, like, sometimes bickering with Alpha over gets to do what and stuff.
Yeah.
She was just a really nice addition to the ship and made it seem really cool.
Mm-hmm. I want my own Deca.
Deca, 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 Deca. Anyway.
Okay, now, honestly, where that. The fuck did Adele come from? Like, Adele. Seriously, what the hell?
She came from Sacred Heart Hospital. She was being a nurse, and then
yeah.
I think she hit her head, lost her memory, and then she opened that, what was it, Surf Shock, or what the fuck it's called, and the Shake and Surf Shake.
Steak and Shake.
Yeah.
It's the longest distance by his world.
And then they were all there, and then she got, like, smacked by Andros and his telekinesing, and then she's like, oh yeah, I remember now, Lulz, and then she kind of left, never to be heard from again until the finale.
Well, like, that was so random. They got rid of the juice bar.
Yeah, like...
And
like,
they attempted to bring
off.
It back, but then didn't.
Like, it made it seem like they were in space for a long time. Like, they were gone for, like, a year, and everything was gone. And the bitch
yeah.
brings them fries and says, I didn't order fries. You'll like them. Walks away. The bitch! What if they're poor and they just wanted water?
You'll like them.
Well, she's away. A sister from the hood, so, you know,
like,
you don't argue.
As much as they, like... had so much references to the past and all tied it into one giant story, like, that was one part they failed, is that detail of the juice bar. It wasn't seen all that often because, honestly, they weren't hanging around Earth and doing random shit that often. But it was just random, and I miss Lieutenant Stone.
I know, right?
Is that a tear for Lieutenant Stone?
Yeah.
So I guess that...
Poor little lad for the homies who are no longer with us.
That naturally brings us to... Bulk and Skull.
Farkas and Eugene.
And Professor Phenomenon.
What
the fuck is up with that guy? He has screws, huh?
Like, okay. That plot was kind of... Like, it made sense because of the theme of space. And it's kind
mm-hmm.
of... I like the whole idea of them, like, doing a different theme for Bulk and Skull depending on the season.
Yeah.
But it just seems so out of left field. Like, after Zeo, Bulk and Skull, like, just... What the fuck happened?
Yeah, Zeo was their shining moment, and then after that, after their little spin-off thing got canned, like, Turbo was okay.
And they just got pissed
like,
off.
This subplot, I don't mind the subplot so much because I think
yeah.
Phenomenus was a really funny old guy.
Yeah, me
yeah.
too. Like, there was moments that weren't that great, but there's also moments that just made me, like, giggle. They were just
hilarious. It's an alien. It's a bunny.
That's a watermelon.
Guys, it's a bunny.
It's an alien.
It's an alien.
Like, it was just such a reoccurring thing. It's like, it's alien. Dude, that's a watermelon. Maybe to the untrained eye. It happened every episode they were in. But they weren't in a great deal of it also.
Yeah.
Like, they took, like, kind of like Samurai. Well, I guess it wasn't a dramatic episode, but they took him out of a lot of the dramatic episodes that really needed focus.
Yeah.
But it made sense to what they were doing. I like how they switched back to their old Bulk and Skull clothing from season one.
Yeah, well, it's just kind of like Bulk and Samurai. Like.
Which Bulk then put into mothballs till Samurai.
And, but they were still enjoyable, and they're definitely, like, their best moment was the finale, where they, like, actually joined the Rangers in battle and found out who they were.
Yeah.
That was amazing when just Bulk and Skull just like, let's get them! And they start attacking everything.
Yeah, like, that was, like, their shining moment. Like, it's
yeah.
what their, like, entire character was, like, building up to.
Yeah.
It was thoroughly enjoyable. Them in the finale.
And there was good moments, like when they tried to, like, escape Earth when they thought the meteorite was going to hit and they ended up in the desert.
Yeah.
Like, why is this shoe on the payphone? Because it's an alien planet. And like, no. And the professor's like, no, it's Earth. And then they got to ride on the Galaxy Gliders, which was fun.
That was fun.
But yeah, they definitely had, because they really weren't around anymore after this, but that was their shining, like, perfect end to their story, basically.
And I did really like how they were all like, oh, I'll just show you all off, you don't tell me who the Power Rangers are, and finally the book's just like, I'm the Blue Ranger, whatever the fuck he said. He's like, fine, I'll be a Power Ranger then. You wanna find somebody to beat up on? Yeah, I'm a Power Ranger. And then Skull's like, yeah, me too.
And then Black Chick, and then other random people. I forgot. I guess this really doesn't... It fits in a weird place. Should we talk about Justin's cameo quick and, like, Adam's?
Sure.
Okay.
Guys, like, I'm still the new Blue Ranger. Wait, no.
Wait, who are you? I was blue. That was funny. He's like, it's me. He's like, all right, Teej. I'm like, really, TJ's not short enough? You got a nickname, TJ? It always bugged me. Like, Teej? Like, really, his name's TJ? Come on. It's two letters. You gotta, like... Oh. But, Justin's cameo was fun.
Yeah, like, it was a good episode.
Fun. Yeah, it was a fun episode. It was cool to see him back and kind of get closure. Like, just kind of like he wondered where they were, I'm guessing. And, like, it was fun to see the two blues together and see him interact with the team. I thought it was funny that, like, they addressed the fact that TJ was now blue, but they never had a proper introduction to Andros, really, until the end. Mm-hmm. And so, like, before that, Andros was like, hey, do you want us to teach you how to ride a galaxy glider? He's like, that's okay, fella. Who is that guy? Who is he? I figured out all the other voices, but I don't know who he is.
He's kind of creepy.
Like, it was just kind of cool that, like, they explained why he would be able to morph again.
Yeah,
the
like,
whole lightning. Power that's, coming from
Mountain Blaster. And that kind of explained, yeah.
It was the talking ship, the talking car.
It was the other one. Mountain Blaster?
Oh, yeah, Storm
Blaster. Storm Blaster, there we go.
Yeah, and that kind of left it explained for TJ to get his powers back in Forever Red.
Yeah.
He just got it from Lightning Cruiser. But yeah, so that was cool. It was definitely a fun episode, and it was good to see, like, his closure. And I was kind of left, like, hoping Justin actually does come back as an adult like we talked about before.
Adams and, was enjoyable.
Yeah, it was
like,
enjoyable.
It was really, really random because of, like, the circumstances and everything.
I can only imagine what Adam was thinking. Like, he leaves him off with the green turbo powers to fight Divatox, comes back, he's wearing a new suit. Like, fuck! Left you alone for 5 minutes and you destroyed the powers already? I mean, granted, we threw our Zeo powers in the trash, but still, what the fuck happened?
You threw the Zeo powers in the trash, but still.
Adam's hair looked really weird in the team-up, though. Like, when he had it back, like, in the scarf, it looked fine, but when it was down, he looked like Rosie O'Donnell. It looks so weird. I think you're still hoping for that Red Ranger role.
Probably.
But, like I said before, is that whole, like, idea of why he came back to give Carlos confidence would have made sense earlier on. Yeah. But it was still, like, a cool setup, and it reminded me of Gokaiger a lot. Rewatching it, at least. Yeah. It obviously did remind me of Gokaiger when I was little. That would be weird. That means I'm a time traveler. But it was a good cameo, and it was cool to see the old Power Coin again.
Yeah, like
and the fact that he still
up.
Had it.
I'm still trying to figure out why he was carrying it, but...
Probably... I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out why he was hanging out around an abandoned power factory to find Carlos fighting Wiz Lizard. Liz Wizard. Whatever his name was. It was something like that.
Adam, like, you can't use the broken morpher.
How did he know about it? He wasn't even around. How did he know what happened? I think Alpha 6 really is Alpha 5 in disguise.
Probably.
I think they just digicrossed. That's what Ecliptor and Darkonda did. They're like, Digicross! But let's see. Adam, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. But that was cool that he had the Morpher. And that also kind of left it open for once a Ranger for that to be the power got restored.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Still begs the question, where's that Zeronizer?
Still begs the question, how did his Morpher get made all pretty again by once a Ranger?
Sentinel Knight. They explained it. Ah, fair enough, good sir.
I'll accept your answer.
And I also just have to quickly mention how funny it is that whenever an old ranger comes in, they always wear, like, really bland colors like gray or brown.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, forbidden from wearing bright colors ever again because someone might confuse them with a Power Ranger.
They're, like, sad colors.
Yeah, like, Adam's all sad and fired because Adam didn't want to leave. Oh, I almost forgot to mention with Zane when he was, like, demorphing by accident. They're like, dude, someone can see your identity. The fuck's gonna know who he is? He's an alien. He's got no records on Earth whatsoever. Like, Silver Ranger was revealed to be this guy.
No idea who he is. No records, no fingerprints. Kind of looks
Justin
like a porn
Bieber
star.
From the future.
Exactly.
Kind of looks like a porn star.
Okay, so I think we covered all the heroes and side characters.
Ferens.
Masters.
Ferens. In the house. In oh god, I almost knocked Santa out.
Real quick, Dark Spectre, giant asshole. He was Maligor.
Yeah.
That's all.
He was kind of there to be a big bad that got blown up.
Yeah.
I still enjoyed Divatox's comment. I saw someone like you once. I married him for about 10 minutes.
Actually, technically, yeah. They never got married and it was only her fiance. Pulls up nerd glasses. Anyway.
Okay,
Astronomer. Astronomer was a really great villain.
Easily my favorite villain out of that era.
Honestly. But not just because of her story. She was like the only competent main villain. All the other ones were running around like, lol's comedy. I'm wearing a duck on my head and dancing around. Oh, let's destroy the floats. Astronomer was actually like a badass and actually had competent plots and was actually like a villain.
Like, she knew how to get shit done and she did it.
Honestly.
It's like, alright guys, we're gonna move Zordon, let's do this. You guys that way, you guys go this way. Let's move out. Okay.
She was just such a good character. Like, she's kidnapped as a kid and basically Stockholmed into becoming evil. And I always wonder, like, at the beginning, I was like, why did he pick
make sense for Vivian.
It would! She was raised by Ecliptor now. She got Stockholmed. Anyway, that's funny. Anyway. I always wonder, like, at the beginning, I'm like, why would Dark Spectre, like, from a logical standpoint, choose Astronomer to go after the Red Ranger after Divatox had technically just defeated the Power Rangers? But he's kind of like she's like his pet project. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been grooming to be, like, his ultimate, like, evil whore. I don't know.
You are my evil whore.
But she had just a really good character, and Melody Perkins, I think that's her name, yeah. She did a really good job of acting.
She's fantastic. I love her. She is the sex.
Like, she did a great job playing early Astronomer, who was just, like, this good evil villain, and then she did a good job playing, like, when she became Corona, and she was just, like, really, like, shy and, like, unsure because she wasn't used to having friends and stuff. And then she did a really good job of playing, like, Robo-Astronomer that was, like, super cold.
Robo-Astronomer.
Yeah. But, I had a joke about androids and they died. But she did, like, a really good job with, like, all the aspects of her personality.
Yeah, I agree.
And, let's see. Ecliptor is also one of my favorite villains.
Oh, I love Ecliptor. He was, like, Ecliptor's he was, like, cool. Dinobot. Like, a villain with honor, and it was really
cool. Yeah. Kind of like, and also, like, Korag later.
Yeah.
And, like, he just had such a cool story in the fact that it also reminded me, his relationship with Astronomer reminded me of Piccolo and Gohan.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that Ecliptor was evil, but then, like, raising Astronomer, like, brought, like, a heart out in him. Mm-hmm. And, like, and then he got brainwashed, but he did, like, a really good story. Like, with the wave of good, I don't think, it would have been kind of cliche for Ecliptor to survive, but I think he was one of the ones that might have deserved to live.
Yeah.
Because Ecliptor, like, turned good right before, and then he got brainwashed. And, like, people like Divatox honestly didn't deserve to live.
Yeah, like, all these main villains, like, lived and turned into good people. While, like, everyone else died.
Yeah, like, Ecliptor had redeeming factors, but, like, Divatox, like, she could have died. I wouldn't have cared. Like, he seemed like one of the more deserving ones, and he was just a really great character. Darkonda was like such a little weasel fuck.
He was.
Like, he's just running around kissing everyone's ass and having a bunch of lives. But he made for a good villain.
Yeah. He was like, you can kill me now, but I'm just gonna come back, lol.
Like, he's kind of like unpredictable and all over the place. Like, he's really like, I hated him, but he's like, he was a good character, I guess. Like, he's not like Ecliptor good, but like, a good unpredictable.
He was a good foil to Ecliptor.
Yeah.
Like, Ecliptor was, like, evil but full of honor, and then Darkonda was evil and full of nothing.
Yeah. He was edgy. He's no desire. Except to be a dick. So his yummies would just be a bunch of dicks.
Dick yummy.
And I did find a couple in the very beginning when Darkonda was first introduced, especially how later Astronema and Ecliptor were developed. I found it hard to believe that she would believe him over Ecliptor.
Yeah.
On several occasions, which I found kind of hard to believe just in general. But he was a good, just like, not reoccurring villain, like a good main villain just to be around all the time. Yeah. And the Darkonda stuff was cool. Digicross. Team Crosshot for life, represent. There really isn't too many other main villains to cover other than just briefly mentioning all the old villains that showed up.
Yeah, they didn't change. So.
Yeah, like Divatox was the same. She just showed up and was whining by the fact that no one cared that she destroyed the Power Rangers. Yeah. Like, LOL, you destroyed a bunch of nubs. And, like, it just didn't make sense that she survived. It just kind of bugged me. And they never resolved anything with her and Demetria. Demetria just fucking bailed. Got a new identity. Just left.
She really did, though. Like, she vanished.
And she never was too... Cause everyone hated her. That's why they, like, got rid of her and, like, transplanted Alpha 6.
Yeah.
Rita and Zed basically only showed up at the beginning and the end, and they were the same. They were just bumbling. Goldar and... Like, they were shown in the finale, but they didn't really make any appearances, like, talking-wise. And the Machine Empire showed up out of nowhere.
Like, even though they were all supposed to be, like, dead.
Yeah, it was pretty funny, though, in the first episode at the Evil Alliance, like, grand meeting, like, King Mondo had, like, a giant bandage on his back.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, that's what it looked like, unless I'm completely wrong, but it looked exactly like that because he'd just been blown up. And they all looked sad. Sad as robots can look. But
like, oh, fuck, we exploded.
Yeah. But, coming back to Countdown to Destruction really quick, they did a really good job of splicing together footage from, like, O-Ranger and just original footage of, like, Protonitrons and Quantrons and stuff to make it look like this epic war. Mm-hmm. And it was so epic. One other closing thought I had about villains was Space did, like, a really good job of... Because, like, most Power Rangers seasons and Sentai seasons, they always have, like, one main villain group that's, like, their ultimate rival.
Yeah.
But Space did a good job of making it feel almost like a comic book where the Power Rangers had a bunch of different villains. Like, they had Divatox and Astronema and Zed and Rita and Machine Empire, and then they all come together in the end as, like, an alliance. And it just did a really good job of kind of making it seem like a comic with just a bunch of different main villains that they faced.
Yeah.
Like, because they faced Divatox a couple times, and they faced Piranatwans quite a lot. Really, they did. And... Also, like, with the monsters, they did a good job because, like, they weren't always just created by Astronema. Like, there was some by Darkonda.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of different random places. It was just so different. Such a nice change. But anyway, I've rambled enough. The villains were good. It was a good time for villains.
It was a
fantastic time for villains.
A glorious villain time.
All right. What's next? Okay, so suits. Brian, you go first. I feel like I'm talking forever because I have the most information because I just absorbed it all in like 4 days.
The suits were unique at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they feel spacey to me now.
Yeah.
Back then, they really didn't.
They always kind of felt spacey to me for some reason.
I'm weird.
Well, we knew that.
Yeah. But, like... The color squares on their chest and stuff. I didn't really know why they did that, because I don't think I was aware of Sentai at the time.
I think it was just to show the team.
But, well, team, yeah. But
Zane came from a team of green grid people, and Caron's outfit was from a team of purple people eaters.
But, like, I mean, now they're some of my favorite suits. Like, they're really simple.
I love the space.
They're like
the
older Sentais, and the fact that they were really simple.
Yeah, they're really simple and really, like, sleek looking.
Yeah.
Like, they looked really cool. I just liked them. They were just... And, it's like, Silver's, I think I already talked about it, as it looked cool. It just would have looked cooler if it would have been more, like, metallic-y, like Shingen Golds and, like, the Go-On wings and stuff.
Yeah.
It was, like, their first time experimenting with, like, an all-shiny suit. Because, like, Gold Ranger was, like, black with, like, gold accents.
Yeah.
But they were really cool suits and, like, just... They fit the theme despite being... video game based.
Yeah.
So, Arsenal. Because we added Arsenal since we forgot to talk about it for the past 5 weeks.
Arsenal. The guns were okay to me.
The gun, you got mail. Whoa, that was funny. Tag of the show. The guns were all right. They were fine.
Hello.
Hello.
I didn't like the Arsenal too much for this.
Yeah. I sort of liked the Spiral Saber, but all the weapons were just, I don't know.
Like, oh, I got a shield, or I got
Astroax
shot.
Star Slinger. Satellite Stunner. Set satellites to stun. The Morphers were okay. They were kind of ugly-ish looking, but I loved, like, the voice of the 335 and everything.
It's one of my favorite Morphers.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I just like the concept of a little flippy thing and then buttons I can press.
That is cool. I wish mine still worked. I loved just the voice of it. I don't know why. Like, the 335. It was cool. Like, I liked it, but it's kind of, like, ugly-looking to wear around.
It is.
I didn't like Zane's Morpher. It was, like, an old cell phone.
Sound Out will kill you.
He loves it?
I think so.
Oh, sorry, Sound Out.
But, I don't mind. Like, his was one of the cell phone Morphers that I don't know in the show because I haven't seen it recently, but the toy was so tiny that it could pass as one.
A cell phone. Yeah. Like, I'm sure no one will comment because no one ever gives us feedback except for Kiefer and, like, Power Geek. But, like, when he types in Mega, doesn't the G sound like a U? Sounds like M-E-U-A. That's what I always heard. Shut up!
It really doesn't.
So, in my universe, it does. I live in the red universe. Anyway.
Okay.
But, so, Arsenal, that's about it. Battleizer. The first Battleizer ever, which is, like, monumentous. I don't know if that's a word. Monumental. It was really ugly, though.
It's horrible.
Kevin says it's important. Like, it was an important deal, but it wasn't important to the plot. Like, this is how we got it. Adam was like, oh, fuck, we're fucked. Sylvie's like, what's this? 3. Oh, fuck. That's how I got the Battleizer.
3.
Like, I never pushed 3. 3 was emergency in case of Hibiki. Like, it was ugly. Like, it was this muscle suit with, like, a bubble butt. And then he's got these giant wings and then, like, a perm helmet that comes down. I understand what they were going for, like, with the space navigation thing, but it was really dumb looking. I didn't like it, personally. What about you?
I didn't like the Battleizer user for this one. Like, it was the first one, so it was monumental, but at the same time, it looked really dumb.
Yeah. Like, it really was stupid. Like, I just didn't like it.
Even as a kid, it was just a thing to sell toys.
Yeah.
So that's all it really was to me.
The Galaxy Gliders were cool.
I like the Galaxy Gliders.
Yeah, they're really cool. And Zane's was cool. That turned into a bike. It made it unique. And then Zane's, like ATV or whatever. That was basically for toy promotion, and so Viper could have a vehicle later.
Yeah.
Like, it was literally in, like, the second-to-last episodes.
They were just preparing ahead of time. They were we're going to do this one, and she's going to need a vehicle, so let's give it to Zane first.
I didn't really care for it, personally. Super Silverizer... I liked it. Yeah, it's such a cool idea.
It was sleek. It was kind of like a brace.
Like, you put it on your wisk. Your fuck. I'm a baby.
You put it on your wisk.
Put it on your wisk, and then it's like a blaster, and it becomes a saber. And I even kind of like the name Super Silverizer, to be honest. It sounds kind of cool.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Like, it was just cool because it was, like, one of the first weapons that, like, if he got, like, kicked in the hand, he wouldn't lose it.
Yeah, like, it was...
Because it was, like, a brace.
To this day, there hasn't been anything that similar to it.
Like,
so I liked it.
I liked it, too. It was honestly one of my favorite weapons.
And everyone's like, Super Silverizer, what a dumb name. I'm like, I think it's cool, because I like corny stuff that the production teams want me to like, so I like it.
I like the Super Silverizer.
Yay, fellow Superstar fam, Facebook fam group, Super Silverizer fan. Brian became a fan of Super Silverizer. Okay.
I don't think we're swords? Missing anything.
Yeah, I don't think.
Arsenal.
Really? Arsenal. We did weapons, morphers, battleizers, and vehicles.
Yeah, we never got that armor that Mega Ranger got.
Yeah, we didn't get that. We didn't get any metallic armor either, which is wonderful. Kevin? He's gone. Okay. Zords. He stayed around to make a few random comments.
Okay, Zords.
Start with the first one.
the mega ship, I love it so much.
I love the whole thing. We're just like so like fapping over this season so much. Like, I love the mega ship. It was such a cool transportation for them, and the inside was just the shit, like we already said.
Like, it's what I wanted Gokai Galleon to be.
I know, it's so cool.
Like a house that changed into the giant robot.
Like the Astro Mega Ship. Go ahead.
I just like this whole singular aspect. Like it's just one thing that transforms into one thing and beats the shit out of things.
Like, yeah, it and it's like their so house and it does everything ever. Yeah, and it's my favorite Ranger base ever.
Oh, definitely.
And it made it seem like such a space epic because they're always like on the ship and just like the command, like the whole like front base, like they all like the terminology and jargon of space and like Deca, like saying all the Deca stuff. It was just so cool, and I loved the whole overall idea of it. And I love the Astro Megazord.
I do too. It's so simplistic. It's symmetric. It's simple.
It's one of my favorite Megazords.
It really works. And yeah, I like the little shuttle thing too.
Yeah, like that was cool the way they've tied it all in with Zordon. Apparently Zordon been cheating on the Rangers on Earth, but whatever.
Yeah.
But I just love the Astro Megazord. It's one of my all-time favorites, not only design-wise, but just like conception-wise.
Like, the Delta Megazord I don't like that much.
I really didn't care for it.
It was all triangular and weird.
Yeah, and like it didn't really transform, it just like let its arms out and flip its faceplate. Like, and then the Astro Delta Megazord I didn't really care for either.
I didn't either, just because it had the Delta Megazord in it.
Yeah, like, it was just kind of a brick. I'm like, you're ruining my Astro Megazord! Away!
Go away.
The Mega Voyager was okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't hate it, but it's not, like, my favorite. Like, it looked decent in Megazord mode, and, like, all of its vehicles are space-based, so once again, Saban, like, lucking out.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they really did luck out there.
Oh, and I have to mention, like, with the footage, they, like, I love the fact that they didn't, like, follow the progression of the footage. Like, they messed around a lot with the footage, so, like, you would get a lot of Astro Megazord during the end.
Because
when they followed the progression of the Sentai story, like, they spammed the fuck out of their new Zords. But they were, like, they were totally mixing up whatever Zords they used, which was obviously because of the footage, but it made it really fresh.
Right.
And hip and new. Okay, so, Mega Wanger.
I don't mind it, but it was a really bad toy.
Yeah.
It was just kind like, of press a button, it's like...
And then you have to finish transforming it, because it doesn't do it all the way, because mine's jank. But, like, it was an okay design. Like, it was like the Mega Voyagers. I don't hate it, but it was just overall just okay.
Yeah.
And it seemed kind of... I like how Zane's like, oh, you can go after that flying monster by attaching your wings, or you could just fly off right now and waste this explanation time of how we can do this. But whatever. God. It's rolling over. Anyway.
I think that's it for Zords.
Yeah, but it was okay.
You can talk about Space Titans.
Oh, yeah, that thing was a shit. It appeared in every episode. Their biggest arsenal ever. That was pretty funny.
I don't even know why they did that. Just because it was like the first season that didn't have anything big to sell.
Yeah.
So they wanted back to sell Titanus, place. Like, morphed into some sort of fucked up space thing.
Yeah, that was really random. But it was a way to sell toys.
Yeah. I bought
it. I don't think there's anything else. Next season, we can talk about the reissue of the Astro Megazord.
Fuck yeah. Shit's green this time.
Talk about the Galaxy Turbo Morpher. Oh, love that thing.
Galaxy Turbo. Galaxy was a... We need to make money, so...
Yeah, pretty much.
Here's some toys we had left lying in the stock room.
I have to watch that now when I don't get to watch space. Okay. So we're done with Zords, so now music, right?
Yep.
Okay, music? I thought music was pretty good.
Go Fly Win.
Fuck yes. Duh, winning. That was what the song was called, actually.
Duh, you're now flying.
Duh, winning. Like, it had kind of like Turbo had like certain like Wasserman theme songs made for it. Mm-hmm. Early Saban had theme songs made for individual things like Sentai does for Zords and like Forms.
Yeah.
Or that's Kamen Rider. But like they had that Go Power Ranger. They only used that like 3 times. I was so sad.
Like it's such a good song too.
And they had that remix of the Mighty Morphin theme when they did the few civilian fights, and that was cool too, but they only used it like in the first quarter. If that, it might have just been the first 5 episodes. Mm-hmm. But it was cool that they had that. But they had some decent background music that just kind of fit the overall tone of the show.
Yeah.
And like that, like I talked about that epic scene with River Astronomer, like got shot down, had good music. Like, I thought it was a step up from Turbo.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Turbo was just kind of lacking in the music department, whereas at least they came up with this. Oh, and the theme song. How did we not start with a theme song? That's my favorite Power Rangers theme song of all time.
Me too.
It's so awesome. Set I just love
controls.
It.
Controls. I'm like, fuck yeah, I will.
Yes, I'm setting my controls every day. Sounds gay.
Controls are set to outer space now. I'm flying higher than ever before.
But honestly, it's...
Fuck yeah.
I love that theme. It's so epic. And then, like, it would... The instrumental, like, playing in the background whenever they got the Zords was awesome.
Yeah.
They're like, Astro Megas are power now. I was like, din-din-din-din. Like, I don't even think they had really sped up transformation sequences because everyone just wanted to listen to the theme. Except for later when the Mega Voyager just landed. Then Transformer just like, boom, all right, let's go. But I love the space, like, theme song, and the instrumental was great, and the music was pretty solid, and definitely step up from space. I mean, from Turbo.
Yeah.
So, final thoughts? You can go first, because I feel like I've talked a lot, but I just, sorry, I have so much information.
Like, it was just, even so back good. Then and even now, it was just the best.
It is the best. It is my favorite season. If you couldn't tell by how much we were just totally fapping
like
over
anyone
it.
Anyone that doesn't think space is the best, put in the comments. I want your goddamn feedback, bitches.
Yeah, seriously, we need
I want your fucking feedback. I want to know.
I know.
What your favorite season is, if it's not space, and why?
Yeah, I want valid points, not just
curious.
Like, Wild Force was awesome.
Like, I'm not gonna bash your opinion. Your opinion's your opinion, but I want to like a reason why you wouldn't like space, or didn't like it, or just it's not your favorite.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just curious. I'm not gonna attacking people or anything.
I'll only attack you if your reason is like I just said, and you say Wild Force is cooler. Like, if you have a dumb reason like that. Or you're like, I love Cole. Or, yeah. Like, you have to have a valid reason.
Cole is like, never a reason.
Like, you can't say that it wasn't good because you like something better. Like, I can't be like, man, O sucks because I like Double better. Even though I said that at the beginning. But, like, I can't, yeah. You have to be a valid reason. Like, I want to know valid reasons why it's not good.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of any. It was honestly the best season ever. And that's being modest. Like, it was just so well put together. Like, they took the mess of 5 years and the fact that it was a video game show and made, like, the best season.
Yeah.
It was so epic. All these different planets. Every episode mattered. Even the filler ones were, like, great stories. It was just... And none of it fell into that traditional Power Rangers formula of monster goes to Earth, blow it up again when it's big. Like, it was all so different.
Yeah, everything mattered.
Like, it felt like PR, but it was such a different show. Like, it's what PR should be. It was, like, the definitive version of everything. And I really liked the cast, too. Like that's something
I don't know why exactly, but it was just such a good cast.
Like, the thing about Spaces is that Space is more about epicness of, like, just having awesome action and a great story. Like, about the whole overall story. It didn't have as much character development.
Uh-huh.
Because after, like, they went into space and, like, became the Power Rangers and knew that this mission to get Zordon was serious, they were where they needed to be as characters, which were just, like, heroes. Like, they didn't really need to go anywhere. They were where they needed to be. And what I liked is, like, all of the original, like, as nostalgic as it is, and as much as Kevin is rolling around, like, MMPR through Turbo has such preachy, goody-two-shoes characters that were intolerable at times. And once second half of Turbo and then into Space, they were good characters. Like, they were honest-to-God people that weren't, like, overly preachy. Like, I was thinking about that near the end. I'm like, these were, like, actual characters. They're not, like, overly preachy and overly goody-two-shoes. They seem like actual heroes.
Yeah.
It was the first time that they were actually realistic.
They fit the bill and... They were ready to do what they needed to do.
Yeah, and there was no, like, over-preachiness, no, like, oh, let's do the right thing all the time. But it was just such a fantastic season. The only inconsistency I have is the few episodes where they were at school randomly.
Yeah, like, that was just weird.
I think that they just stopped the charade of masquerading 25-year-olds as 18-year-olds. Because, like, they, from what my, the way I look at it, they all lived on the ship. That's where they lived.
Yeah.
Because, like, at the end of Space, they're like, I'm homesick, I want to go home. like, because that offer to stay on Cryo 35, is that they had a mission, they went into space to live on the ship, and they took it serious.
Yeah.
And then they went back. I think that was just randomly, because the one episode with Cassie is because they copied the Mega Ranger plot a little bit.
Yeah.
But they lived on the ship, and I thought that was cool. And I want to live on a ship and wear tight clothes. It was so good. I just love it. It's my favorite season ever. And it holds up so well.
Like, you keep talking about it and stuff, and now I want to watch it.
I'm sorry. I'm just so enthused about it. Like, it got me so excited. I'm like, God, if Saban gets their mojo back. And, like, I keep seeing all these credits, like, directed by Jonathan Zatzer. I'm like, what are you doing, Zatzer? Why did you become a dick? Like, look at this amazing show you just made. And now you're like, fuck making an awesome original story like Space.
Fuck making a show.
I know, honestly. Just copy this. But yeah, it was fantastic. Easily the best season of PR for me ever. Such a great creative use of what they were given.
It shows exactly what you can do with footage by just rolling with it and making.
And then creating your own footage too. And I have to say, it was like I said a couple times before, but it was a great payoff to all of those who had stuck around. Because, like, so many people left after MMPR.
Yeah.
And those are the people we complain about now, saying that MMPR was the best season. But Space was the fantastic payoff to being a loyal fan.
Absolutely.
It was simply the best. It's one of my favorites. It's my favorite Power Rangers and one of my favorite, like, toku of all time.
The best of the best of the best. I think so that now, was a Space song.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to get corrected. So now it's time for
Final Thingies!
Because I think we have to get stock footage.
Final Thingies.
So, the contest. You want to talk about the contest?
Yeah, just real quick. It was on the main page of RR. It's still there somewhere. But what we're doing is we have a May giveaway. In fact, we'll be doing the same giveaway for the month of May, June, July, and August. So for the next 4 months. CS Toys is our sponsor. So they are giving us one for each month, 1,000 yen gift cards, so about $12 or so, a nice little freebie gift. Nothing wild or exciting, but you can pay off a metal set or something with it.
Yeah.
So we'll be giving away one of those each month, and it's just going to be pretty much random draw. What you have to do is we'll go to the page that I'm going to link to in the show notes to read everything. But basically, you have to have a Ramboards account. So you have to sign up for the Ramboards. And if you sign up for the Ramboards, I would propose that you you stay active.
Yeah, because
that's what cool people do.
We need more active. I even need to stay more active. I should stop preaching and start doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, Dawson.
I need to, too, but I'm in a busy period, so...
I have, like, 3 posts, and you have, like, 27.
But, so you have to be a member of the Ramboards, which you should be anyway, and then retweet the Twitter announcement that we had for it. You're going to have to dig back a little bit to find it. I'll talk to Rio and see if he can tweet it again or something. I don't really know how he's tracking it, so I don't know how this shit works. But... retweet the Twitter announcement or like the Facebook status on our Riders and Rambles Facebook page. So go there. So retweet the tweet or like the Facebook status, and then you'll be entered to win the prize of the 1,000 yen gift card for CS Toys. RR staff, if you're listening, you are eligible. The head administrators are not.
Oh.
So no, Dawson, okay. We can't win.
But, it's okay. But don't winning.
Our little minions are eligible to enter if they would like to. But the real thing is that you need a Ramboards account. So speaking of the Ramboards, we're growing. We've got
We've got over 100 members. It's growing, the storm.
We got like 100 members right now, but there's a good chunk of members that are bots, but we're trying to clean those up the best we can.
Like, seriously, join it. It's awesome over there.
One thing I do recommend doing is if you sign up for an account, post at least once so we know you're a person.
Yeah, so you know, you're not just a bot.
Otherwise, you might get deleted when we do a sweep. So
yeah.
So if you sign up and haven't posted yet, please do. We really need to get discussions going. I have a lot of faith in the boards. I think it'd be a great place to be once we start.
It's a fantastic
really
layout.
Solid discussions going and get everything going. I'm really proud of it. It's like my little forum baby.
I named it, so it's my name baby.
It's our baby, Dawson.
Oh gosh.
No, Rio made it.
He was our surrogate.
Yes. Oh, Rio was a surrogate to our baby. That's a creepy thought right there.
It really is. So. Also, you should join the Not a Nielsen Family campaign.
Yes, you Chucksters.
You should. Seriously, get on that.
If you're a Chuck fan and you tweet lots during Chuck on Monday, NBC's 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, watch for the advertisements and basically jot down all the advertisers that you see. And then tweet to them. Tweet like, hey, I saw your ad on at NBC's Chuck.
Make sure you do at NBC hashtag Chuck.
Yeah.
There's
a strict rule for this.
Yeah, this is a serious bit.
Then just like say something about how awesome they are and then put hashtag not on Nielsen family. That's Nielsen with an E. Go to wegiveachuck.com. I think that's the address. Mm-hmm. Google it if not.
It's almost on every Chuck site.
But go there. It's on like every Chuck fan site, so if you're an avid Chuckster, you've probably seen it. So.
And it also helps if you happen to remember in the ads and you forgot. Like if you go to Arby's like I did, take a picture of it and say I went there because you advertised on Chuck.
Yeah, I'm probably going to do that tomorrow since I'm probably going to have Arby's tomorrow. I don't know yet. It was Subway or Arby's, but both of them had advertisements, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anyway, we love Chuck here, so
yeah,
any sort of support
get it renewed.
To our favorite show would be muchos apreciende.
Please.
I pulled an Antonio.
Oh, fuck yes. Better text you later.
Later, bitches.
Please give us feedback. We really want feedback.
Please.
Like, we really appreciate Kiefer's comments, which are so lame. I'm so sad. And Power Geek has some really nice long comments, but we really like posted in the forums is a great place to post it now, too.
Yeah, actually, in fact, I would much preferred if everyone posted it in the forums to kind of get conversation going.
Yeah, but we just appreciate feedback in general. Like, we want to know things
like
about like how we're doing.
We're reaching our 52nd episode.
Almost our year anniversary.
Which is like our anniversary episode-ish thing. And we really want to know what you guys think of the cast. I know this one was a really long one. We apologize for that.
I'm sorry. But, I love space.
But we just want to know your thoughts, what it's doing, what we can do to make it better, what we can
do.
Do
you want the summaries to be shorter?
Yeah, do you want the summaries to be shorter? Do you want the summaries gone?
Yeah, we want to know this. I really want to know this.
We need to know these things in order to make the best podcast possible. And that's really our goal. We've been doing this weekly podcast for a year now. And we're really happy.
Yeah.
We're really excited. We still love doing it. We'll do it for another year. And then
Brian's leaving me.
Then we'll do it for another year and then we're done.
And then we're done. No.
We'll do this till the fucking day we die if you guys want to. So,
pretty much.
I got nothing better to do with my damn life. So just please, please, please give us feedback. Even if it's just a don't change anything, I love your show. That's still better than not posting anything and just leaving us in the dark. So
because
at this point,
really need it.
Really, really nice.
Because we really like just hearing the stuff that you guys like and we like to also hear the stuff we want to change. Because, like, we don't want to annoy the fuck out of you with a segment you don't like every week.
Yeah, like, if not enough people like the summaries, we'll get rid of the summaries.
Or if you don't want me to blather on about Space's plot for 45 minutes, just tell me. But I'll do it anyway, because Space is awesome and you need to know about it.
You don't even have to worry about it, because we're not going to talk about it at all until we decide to do this again, because we forgot we did it already.
Oh, God. Wait, did what?
The Ranger Rambles.
Oh, yeah.
Like
okay.
5 years, we're like, oh, let's ramble about the PR seasons.
We'll just do it again. I don't know. It's kind of like, it's sort of like our versions of Link Cars things, but different. That's why we get this plot.
Yeah.
And now we're just talking and talking, so we just need to shut the fuck up.